You can buy Steam leaks, vouchers, whatever, in that game.
I know, but I don't want to go to a bloody shop like in real life.
Well, can you not get them off game online? Hello?
Ugh.
That means clicking on another website. It's like you're just buying a voucher, man. What is your problem? I mean, seriously, what is your problem? Anyway.
Yeah, I'll just get it on bloody...
Yeah, Duke isn't here, by the way. He's not
yeah,
here.
I think they guessed that.
He's stuck at the garage, apparently. Still at the mechanic.
Madeline changes her name on Steam, like, every 5 minutes. So
yeah, well, that's why it's better buying her a voucher then, isn't it?
No, but I'm saying she just changed her name, so I don't even know. I can't even message her saying... I will get you a Steam thing tomorrow because I said I'd do it today.
Just a minute, let me just check something. Just let me just try something. Just a freaking minute. Just a minute. Yep, nothing there to do it. I can't understand why you just can't add credit to a friend's account. You just assume it would let you do that. Yeah, you just like assume it would let you do it. But for whatever reason, it doesn't do it. There's nowhere to do it. Which is just stupid. It is very silly. It says Duke's online. It says Duke's online here. What's all that about?
Dunno.
Maybe he's really here. Maybe he's just pretending because he wants to play something.
Oh, Madeline, what's your fucking name? Oh, that's gotta be it. Baby Snow Wolf.
Baby Snow Wolf.
Oh no, she changes it every 5 minutes. It was like Firefly the other day, and there she is.
Big gamers, baby. Big gamers, right?
1,325 hours on GarageMod.
This is all very riveting stuff, I've got to say. But we do need to get going. Regardless of whether Duke is here or not, we've got a show to produce and the show's got to go on.
Kevin's done a link in the thing.
Keys.com. See? Keys.com, never heard of it. What is that? What is that even? Is Kevin some sort of bot? That's like some weird spam.
No.
It is a spam, man. Click on it, it's spam.
Spam. It's not spam.
On keys.com, it just comes up. Keys LLC provides inexpensive domain names. Mine does.
No, it
when
doesn't.
I clicked on it.
That's
what came up with me on mine.
On mine? This is what came up on mine. Look, the stream will be able to see it there. It's on the stream now, so you'll see it in about a minute. But that's
I don't know. I'm just telling
you,
man.
It's a £20 voucher for $18.99. What the fuck does that? You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Oh, it's changed now. Hold up. How weird is that? When I first clicked on it, it just came up with this weird thing. Keys LLC.
Hold on. Master Zulu, if I buy this Steam thing now, is this a code? Or is this a fucking thing that they
poked? Is it a code? He needs to know the details.
It's a code.
What is this?
Does not start until it...
I know, just sort this shit out, then we can get going, for God's sake.
Hey, Kev. Another Kev in the room. Kev face.
Oh, he said, don't click the keysbit.com. Yeah, well, too late now.
It's a cheap. Jesus Christ. It's a cheap, don't they? CD Keys is quite decent, Ian says.
It's a code.
Master Zulu said code. It's a code. It will be a code.
Look, that's fine, because look, I'm sure with your artistic skills, you can make something up on bloody thing and print it off, can't you, in Photoshop or whatever.
Well, I'll just give it to him.
You can do your own gift card, man.
I don't want to give him a gift card. Just fucking send it to him.
Come on, man. That'd be cool if you like.
Stu, I threw them a fucking massive party yesterday. It cost me 76 quid in stupid decorations and sweets. I'm going to give them a fucking discount code. I don't care about pockets.
I think how much more they'd love you, though, if you personalise it and they keep it forever.
They don't care. Kids
they don't care. They just want the cash.
They just want cash. Cold, hard cash.
Right, are we going to do this show or not?
I don't know. I don't feel like doing it now.
Oh, don't be so soft. Duke will be here next to me, all right? He'll be here.
I don't want to do it anymore.
You're doing it. There's people waiting.
The show. Announcement, I am quitting the show.
There's people waiting.
I could never quit the show. Stu would never let me quit.
No, it would be. No, that's not allowed.
I'm on PayPal.
Right, so we've no theme tune because Duke's just not here.
Welcome, yo, to the Better of Gamers. Stu, Duke, Chittington's about to tell you of every single game that's playing to see. News, reviews, and infects. This is the time the Chittington's game breaks us. The sound right favors. $600.
Hello and welcome to show 254 of the Veteran Gamers Podcast.
Sound effects. Yes, we don't have Duke here. You might have guessed.
We are the sound effects. Soundboard. That's us. We're the soundboard. It's just Chinny and me. Or Chinny and I, if we're going to speak properly. Yeah.
Well, We are alone.
Where's Duke?
Duke's coming, though, isn't he?
Apparently, his car's broken. What do you think's happened to it? Right, I've got this image in my head, right, that Duke is one of these people who will keep his car until it literally falls to pieces.
Yeah, I think so. I reckon his car, at the moment, is probably just a wooden pallet with some wheels on it and maybe an umbrella in the middle of the wooden pallet. You know what I mean? Just
umbrella. There you go. That was like pretend soundbite again. There. Do you see what I did? I agree with you. I think it's just got like a steering wheel and like an engine block on a pallet with wheels, and I think that's kind of going to be it, really. Yeah, horse and cart. Yeah, I can imagine a horse and cart too. Yeah, that's what Master Zulu
says. We are live on Twitch tonight as well, listeners. So. We'll read out some tweets. There's a few people in here. Smizzle, Step J, Master Zulu, Kev, Face, and Kev Fowl, 1985, best year in the world. Ian W, can't remember who I said now. But yeah, welcome.
Yeah. Ian W 2014 says, and the hole in the floor. It could be like the Flintstones car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you just put your feet through the bottom to like get it going.
Probably
that could be Duke's car. I don't know. I just have this image that he's got a very old car that he just keeps fixing until he can't fix it anymore. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But he doesn't fix it, does he? He doesn't touch nothing.
No, he doesn't fiddle with nothing. In fact, it's probably broken because he didn't put no oil in it. You know, it's probably run out of oil or something and he just didn't bother because he didn't know how to.
Exactly.
I'd be surprised if he knows how to even open the bonnet or the hood if he's in America.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hood. He opened the hood. You know what I mean? I can't even imagine he knows how to do that. He'd probably just, I don't know, he'd probably try and get it open with, like, Gordon Freeman's crowbar.
This is boring, you know what I
mean? Yeah, it is a bit boring,
isn't
it?
You're boring me.
Okay. Hey, guess what? By the way, funnily enough, right?
Yes.
I remembered I had a personal Twitter account that I've not been in for a long time, right? And I thought, yeah, I wonder when was the last time I sent a tweet from that account. Do you know when it was the last time I sent a tweet from that account?
2009.
No, it's not quite that bad, although it's not much better. 2015, Christmas Day, 2011.
What did it say?
It said, thanks for the heads up, because somebody sent me an email on Christmas Day that said, you have to download Pigeon Palooza, the next Angry Birds. It is launched in Marketplace. And I went, yeah, thanks for the heads up. Maybe I'll check it out.
Did you ever check it out?
I don't think I did.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I think it was when we were still doing indie game reviews all that time ago. Okay. And I think this was an indie game. If I remember right, isn't this the one that Jason got a hair like because it involved a pigeon crapping on buildings?
No idea.
I'm almost sure that's what it was. So that's the last tweet that I sent. There you go.
Was that it? Was that the whole story?
Yeah, it was just happened to sort of go on and go, I wonder when was the last time I tweeted anything. But yeah, it turns out it's a long, 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 long time ago. Maybe I should start tweeting again on my personal one. What do you think? Can it? But then, like, can I be arsed, really? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. Maybe you should think about this in your own time. Because this...
Maybe I should think about it in my own time.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe that's true. So how was your week been? Have you had a good week?
I've had a strange week.
Have you? Why? What's happened?
I've had a strange week this week because, I went to Brussels.
All right, okay. Interesting.
Went to Brussels.
Is this drone related?
No, but it is work related.
Okay.
We had to go in front of a panel, sort of. We was invited by the EU, by the Belgian embassy, to attend the Belgian British conference, and it was at the Royal Palace in Belgium, in Brussels.
Right. Cool.
And it was basically the EU have donated a lot of money to business growth. And we've used some of that money to grow our business.
Of course you have. How did you scam that then? What did you actually do with it?
So we just made a big bath. They basically want to know like where's all this money gone? And it's the policymakers. It's the policy. The policymakers of all these like funding pots. So we went along. And my God,
can I ask you a question? Right? Because Kay went to Amsterdam on the holiday, right, with a friend.
Not quite the same thing.
No. But it's kind of
invited to a royal. No, I get invited to a royal place.
She said, right,
your wife gets invited to a hen do in Amsterdam or whatever.
No, listen, right. But she said the sort of the royal house in Amsterdam, it's like. You can just walk in, like, there's not really any security and no one's really that bothered, you know, they're very relaxed about it all. I just wondered if it was the same where you went.
No, because there was massive security where we went.
Was there?
Yeah. Oh,
wasn't the same then?
No. So, yeah, you know, so we got invited and my God, I have never been in a room such full of not my people, Stu, in my life. There was all like, the constituency of the European Union, the policy of the fall of Berlin, and there was all saying things.
You should have got up and got it. Have you played GTA 5 yet? I shot someone in the face yesterday. It was great. That's what you should have done.
Should have done that. Well, there was all saying things that I... They were saying jokes that I didn't know were jokes. You know what I mean? There's like, and then the policy was on chapter 12. I was like, yep. That's funny.
Yeah. You see, that's a highbrow humour.
Yeah.
You know, those guys know what they're doing. You know what I mean? They
don't live in the real world, too. They do not live in the real world.
They're in like a bubble, aren't they? Like the posh bubble.
We stopped in a hotel, and you'd like the name of it, Stu. Do you want to know what the name of the hotel was called?
Did it have a rude word in it?
No, it's basically Brussels don't mess about, you know what I mean, when they name their hotels. They do not fuck about. They do not have time to name hotels. They need to run the European Union.
So what was it called? Yeah, I'm ready.
Hotel.
It was just called the hotel.
The hotel. Nothing else.
The hotel.
It had like 22
So is that their version of Premier Inn then?
No. Because this hotel was the bollocks.
Oh, it was posh then.
It was a posh one. It had loads of different buttons next to the bed that did like different types of lights and even curtains. And I spent like about 10 minutes playing with the curtains.
You see, but that in itself is pretentious and highbrow, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's
like
stupid.
Calling a hotel the hotel. Like right, this is the hotel. This is the only
all
one
on
to stay.
All on that taxpayers' money.
So did it have a comfy bed?
It was a comfy bed, yeah. Yeah, it was nice.
Did it vibrate?
No.
Were the mirrors on the ceiling?
No.
Oh, it sounds a bit boring then, really, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a bit boring. But
did it have
spare? I did go to the reception and go, I demand an iron. And she went, yes, of course. I was like, all right.
What food did you get? Did they make pizzas there?
Well, no, we had a meal at the palace, right? And
okay,
it was quail.
All right, yeah, I'm not keen on game, to be honest.
Well, I had quail.
It's not my favourite.
I don't care if you're not gay. I had quail, right? Yeah, so I've never had quail before, but it's like a pigeon, basically.
It is like a pigeon.
It looks like a pigeon.
I've cooked quail, but never really... I've eaten quail, but not really eaten it.
It wasn't
tasted
great.
It, you know?
It wasn't brilliant, but the pudding was nice. It was just like a chocolate, fancy chocolate mousse. That was nice.
You have to hang it for about 20 days after you kill it until it's got maggots in.
Yeah.
And it goes all smelly and horrible, and then it's tender, you see.
Shall we talk about video games? Because, you know...
I guess so, because that's why people... by the way, I'm upset today, so I need consoling.
Right, what's the matter?
I'm very upset because Millie went to the pictures with a friend to watch The Hunger Games.
Oh, without you?
Without me. She's getting to that age.
She'd only be seen with you.
I know. But, you know, I took it. We went roller skating, so she still goes roller skating with me and stuff, you know what I mean?
It's going to end.
But to be honest with you, I think it's only because I'm the taxi to get there.
Exactly. You're a mean,
you know what I mean? I don't think there's any other reason. And I provide sort of snacks at half time. You know what I mean? But otherwise, she probably wouldn't have me there. I can see it coming where she'll just want dropping off on a Friday night where they all just snog in the corner.
Game over, mate. Game over.
I know. Yeah. Step J said he had some pheasant yesterday, overcooked it. Yeah, it's easy overcooked. It's got to be medium rare if you really want a nice piece of pheasant. You've got to have a bit of blood in there, really.
It's not blood, mate. It's myoglobin. Not blood.
Oh. Whatever. Anyway.
I've had quite a weird week. I went to Brussels. And Brussels is really nice, by the way. Makes me feel really stupid because everybody's bilingual in Brussels. So I was, you know, like, because it's a French-speaking country.
Every other foreign country, everyone speaks more than one language.
But, like, you know, I was amazed by the staff because, like, they would speak French, and then they would speak German, and then they would speak English, and here's stupid, ignorant old me going, "Where is my food, you stupid woman?" And, you know, I just shout as loud as I can until I get what I want. But, yeah, so I was in a room full of toffs, and the room that I was in, Stu, looked like a room from a Bond film. It was scary.
Did it have all, like, you know, like, paintings all over the walls and all that crazy stuff? And
it was just
choking and...
It was a massive conference room I'm choking. It was a massive conference room where he was all in a circle. Oh my god, I'm dying. Talk amongst yourselves. Talk amongst yourselves. Hold on.
It's fine. Yep, that's it. He's dead. He's gone. There's just me on my own now. Oh my god, what am I going to do?
Oh god. Alright, we was in a big... I'm dying.
I'm just trying to picture this Bond room. Can I ask a question? Did it have a glass floor with a shark underneath? I guess that's a no.
I think they must be watching me. The people in Brussels, they've poisoned me.
I know, yeah. Dissing the royal household.
Right. So we was in this room. And it didn't have a glass floor. Yeah. No, it was a shark tank underneath. But we was in a big circle, right, with microphones. And what happens is... When you press the microphone, the camera goes onto you, and you can talk to the board, right? And those open up discussions and stuff. And this guy, I was sitting next to the governor of Flemish, from the Flemish government, and he was sitting next to me, a very important man. And there was members of parliament there. There's people from the British embassy there. There's people from massive businesses. A German guy who sold his business for 500 million, all sorts of stuff. And here's me and Matt sitting there going, "What the hell is going on?" All right, and I was sitting next to Bruno, the chap from the Flemish government, and he kept on pressing the microphone. And because we were sat next to each other, the camera would always go on me.
Right.
And I almost started like bursting out laughing because I knew Matt was on the other side, and I could see that he was trying to laugh because the camera was on me. All right, and I slowly like edged out, trying not to laugh, but he could tell that I was laughing. And there's another chap there that we made friends with. He was very posh. He went to Oxford and all this stuff, but he was a very nice man, and he noticed that I was laughing as well. But to bring it back to games. Stu.
Yeah. How does this relate to games?
On the way back, we took the Eurostar back, right? And we sat next to our posh Oxford friend.
Okay. Really friendly then.
I started playing a game on my iPad, right?
Yeah.
And this chap, he's about 36, so, you know, he's not old or anything. He's normal guy, a bit posh.
Normal.
He was watching what I was playing, and he was just, excuse me, are you? What is that? And he's like, I'm playing a game on my iPad. And he's like, what game is it? And I was like, it's called Plants vs. Zombies 2. And he went, Plants vs. what? And I was like, it's called Plants vs. Zombies. Plants vs. Zombies. So they're fighting each other now. It's like a tower defense game.
I'm impressed.
I said tower defense game. And it was like, he looked like me when I was sitting in that room when they was talking about the embassy and like the European
policies and stuff.
Yeah, policy and all this. Like, he had that face. I was like, I have no idea. I said tower defense and he went, what the hell is this? And I went, right, okay.
It doesn't even mean.
I said, have you heard of Space Invaders? He goes, yes. It's like that, but instead of like aliens,
Space Invaders.
But I really had to strip it back. You know what I mean? And I said, like, these zombies are bad, right? He goes, yes, of course, yes, zombies are bad, yes. And plants are good. And he goes, yeah, that makes sense. I can see the logic there. And you have to plant plants, and they fire at the zombies. And he was mind blown about this game. And I said, and he says, do you play a lot of games? And I said, well, I do. I play quite a lot of games, and this game, for example, and I told them how successful it was, and it was made by PopCap, and they've made millions and millions. And I said, when Plants vs. Zombies 2 came out, it sold millions in 24 hours. It was a phenomenal game. And he was like, oh, my God. This is like, you know, he was amazed by how big of an industry it was. And he says, I played Doom when I was young. You know, is that?
Oh, that's impressive.
And I said, that's good. Yeah, Doom, you know, that's relevant.
Good.
All right. This is they're coming out with a new Doom. And he was amazed by that. And then and Matt showed him Grand Theft Auto 3 on the iPad.
Right, okay.
And he said, he says, have you heard of this, Grand Theft Auto? And he says, I have heard of it, yes, I've seen it in the news. And
I'm trying to picture, what did he look like? Well, I'm trying to picture
he had a middle part in, sort of like, hair goes to...
Like curtains.
Yeah, like curtains.
Yeah, and a lot of tops at that still, though,
yeah, curtains, like, just above his ears, like the hair went to, you know, very, very clean, like, cut shaven, glasses.
Was he in a suit?
He was in a suit, but we was all in the suit, because, you know, we had to be. But, you know, he was very nice, though. He had a good sense of humour, because we was joking and stuff, and I was walking past a picture in the embassy, in the palace, and I said, what do you think his name is? And he says, I don't know, John Omagumgo, or something like that. And, you know, he had a funny sense of humour. He was good. Because there were other toffs there that were just dicks, right?
Well, I mean, all of the Monty Python team went to Oxford.
Exactly, right? So he was a nice guy. I liked him. So he was Matt is explaining this is Grand Theft Auto. He says, oh yes, I've heard of it, and it's an open world game. And he was like, open world, and we was like, oh my God, he doesn't know anything. Right, okay. So and Matt explained this, and Matt doesn't know much about games really, but like it's like an open world game. So an open world game means that you can go anywhere. And he said, anywhere? I can go to your house? And he goes, no. Anywhere in the game.
He worked on Google Maps.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, right. Okay. So we gave him the iPad and we showed him how to drive and stuff. And he goes, you could see his face like really getting into it. This is fantastic. And then Matt says, if you press that button there, you can get out the car. He goes, I can get out of the car. And he says, yes. And he says, can I get in that car? And he says, oh, yeah. So you press the button, and he, obviously, in Grand Theft Auto, you pull the person, you punch the person, and you pull them out. And he's, oh, my God, I didn't mean to do that. And then he got out of the car. He goes, the first thing that he said when he got back out of the car, all right, for the second time, he went, how do I kill somebody? Right, that was the first thing that went in his head. How do I kill somebody? All right, and then he got a bat, and then he just battered loads of people. And he goes, this is fantastic. This is amazing. I'm mind blown.
Guess who's here?
Mr. Duke Scath.
Here, let's add him in. Let's get him in the call. We think he's here anyway. Let's see. He'll be angry, though. He's going to be all angry, isn't he? And frustrated and stuff. Hello.
Hello.
We started the show, so we're on live, so just be careful in case you're all shouty and stuff.
I'm not shouty. I'm too exhausted and hungry to be shouty.
Can we just check? Chinny's just in the midst of a story, but before we carry on, can we just check? We were all debating, well, not all that, just me and Chinny, really. But we were debating what sort of car you'd go.
to be honest.
But it was just me, really. And I said, I thought it'd be like a really, really old car that you'll just keep a hold of and keep fixing until it finally won't get fixed anymore. Is that the case, or is it something newer?
What do you mean by really old?
I reckon it's at least 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Older or newer?
1998.
Yeah, 16 years old. See, I was right. And also, I reckon it's Japanese.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it a Honda?
Yep.
There you go. See, there you go. See, I can tell. Anyway, how is it going? Is it fixed?
It's fixed.
What was up with it? What did you do?
Chinny, you were in the middle of a story. You want to finish that first?
Okay. It might cheer you up
a
little bit as well.
Yeah, go on, finish the story, and then we'll hear the car story.
So, Phil Dukin.
My favorite time. It's story time.
I know y'all have been missing
that. Phil Dukin. Just to let you know, Duke, that I got invited to the Belgian palace for an EU conference, right, in Brussels.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Like that, not the buzzer.
And I was saying to Stu, I have never been in a room full of not my people in my life, you know, because they're all talking, the policy on referendum was on the EU, innovation, you know, and I have no idea what these people are talking about. Nothing, yeah. Right? And I just had to basically say, we did well because of EU funding, give us more funding, please. That's pretty much my bit. So on the way back, on the train, we met this posh chap. And he's never played games, but he's very funny, very nice chap. And he went to Oxford and all this. And we showed him, he was very interested. I was playing Plants vs. Zombies 2 on the iPad. And he was mind blown, Duke. Mind blown of this game. He couldn't believe that there was a game called Plants vs. Zombies. And I explained it to him and explained how successful it was. And then we showed him Grand Theft Auto. All right. And he had heard of it, but he hadn't played it before. And he was like, this is amazing. This is fantastic. How do you kill someone? Like he was just, first thing he wanted to do was just shoot somebody in the face. And he was
You see, GTA crosses every divide. It doesn't matter about your social standing. You just want to shoot people in the face.
He was like, this is fantastic. I just can't believe it. And like, this is how it's, you know, and he showed him the map of the world. He's like, oh my God, this is fantastic. I think I might get this, you know, like he was really getting into it. So there you go. That was pretty much it. But
what was his name, by the way?
His name was Bruno as well. There was another chap called Bruno.
But did he have a double barrel? Was it Bruno Steffington Parker?
I don't think so. We've got his card somewhere. He's a very, very nice guy.
What does he do? What did he actually do?
He works for like an incubation sort of. He basically helps businesses that come through Oxford. I think.
Going to say something to do with eggs or something. Then when you said incubation,
no, you know, look, they have an incubation space for businesses. You know, usually at universities.
You know, that's just like the most pretentious thing ever.
Sorry, did you say the guy's name was
Bruno?
Bruno.
We actually. We actually said to him, have you seen the film, Bruno? And he went, no, I haven't, actually. And I was like, I'd keep it that way if I was you.
I'm going to see it in my mouth this weekend.
Yes. So he was a very nice guy. But, yeah, I've been playing Plants vs. Zombies, which I'll talk about later. But, Duke, please go ahead and tell us about your
what happened
story.
With the car. Yeah, come on, what happened?
Okay, so I'm eating a burrito, so you'll have to forgive me. All right.
You just carry on.
So last night, the Duchess and I were coming home from a comedy show, which was good, but it wasn't as good as it should have been. Anyway, we're coming home, and there's this train running in front of the traffic. So we have to wait for the train to go by. And wait. And wait. And wait. And wait. We had to wait forever.
How long is forever, though?
It was like 20 minutes.
All right, okay.
And it would stop, and then it would back up, and then go forward. I was like, what is this? It makes me vomit. So the train finally goes away. Traffic's moving. The car won't start.
Oh, dear.
The battery's dead.
Uh-oh.
So I had to get out and push as the Duchess steers it into this parking lot. And then we were like 4 blocks from our house. So part of we were like, man, we could push it home, but nah, I don't want to risk it. And that's dangerous. And, you know, if we don't make the light and so we had to call a tow truck to come jump us. And then we drove it home, and it was fine last night. And I was totally – last night I was like, whatever, could be worse. It wasn't that bad. You know, nobody got hurt. I was very calm and, you know, peace of mind about it all. And then this morning I went to start it up to go take it into the shop, and it wouldn't start this morning. And I was – and I lost it. I was like, God damn it, my house. So we had to call the tow truck again. We went to our neighbors to see if they had jumper cables, but they weren't home. So then we were like, screw it. So we called the people to come jump us. They did. And then I went into the place, and I've been there for like 4 hours. And originally they were like, should have you done in like a couple hours. And then it was like twice as long as that. And I mean, whatever. A lot of places aren't even open today. So I'm,
so what did, was it just a new battery?
It was the battery and the alternator.
Yeah, alternator, you see. They do go eventually. They don't last forever, you know.
Yeah, well. It was – I mean, whatever. Like the Duchess pointed out when I got home, and I realized this too. Like if it hadn't been for that train – like if it didn't die last night, maybe it would have died tomorrow morning when I needed to get to school or, you know.
Yeah, but if your alternator's gone, it would have died at some point regardless.
Right, exactly. So all things considered, it could have been worse. My life is generally pretty blessed, so I'm trying to keep things in perspective and – yeah, that's
you are aware, you are allowed, you don't have to feel guilty about being pissed
I'm
off about
guilty.
Ordinary things.
It's fine. Don't get me wrong, I was mad there, but you know what, it's important for us as soon as possible to take a deep breath and realize, you know what, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big a deal. And to the person who was fixing my car,
don't make me break my foot off in your ass,
hurry it up. Oh no, wait, I'm
yeah, exactly. Can I just point out, I'm not sure if anybody knows who Mr. Crinkle is, but he's a bit rude.
Why?
He's a bit rude because he's put in the chat, "Who's the pig eating the mic?" Then he's put, "Yeah, the pig eating on the mic identifies himself." Turns out it's an American fat pig. Who could have guessed that? It's not very nice, is it?
Well, it's true though.
Yeah, it is true. Anyway, how are you? Anyway, you're feeling a bit better now. You've got it all sorted.
Now that I've got some food in me. That was the other thing. Like, I had Raisin Bran for breakfast, and then I was like, I'll be fine. It'll only be until, you know, a little later on. And then it was, yes, Step J, thank you. So I should not look at the chat during the podcast.
Anyway, yeah, don't look at the chat.
So I was like, you know, when I was waiting for them to fix it, because it's in a mall, so I was like, I could get something to eat at the food court. I'm like, no, I'll just eat when I get home. But then it kept dragging on and dragging on. I'm like, well, I want to leave while they're almost done with my car. So I didn't eat, and now I've finally got something to eat. So I feel better now that I've got something to eat. In general, I was doing great until this whole car fiasco began. And then I realized I didn't have the rubrics I needed to grade some papers that I was supposed to grade this weekend. So now Thanksgiving weekend is going to be a lot busier. And life, what are you going to do about living?
I know. What are you going to do? Anyway, Duke.
Anyway.
It's time for a serious chat.
Should we do the theme song? Is that just time for...
No, we've done all that. Yeah. We just sang it. We just pretended that you
were it. Anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah, we need to have a serious, serious talk.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Uh-oh. I know. Okay. It's come to that time. Because, you know, you said, like, you know, that it was just dragging on and dragging on and dragging on.
Dragging on. I get it.
I get it. But I've been playing a game with the word dragon in the title.
Dragon on.
And I think it's time you bought yourself a next-gen console.
Duly noted. Thank you for your opinion.
Yeah.
Because I've got to say, it's good.
Oh, that's what I hear. I'm glad you like it.
It's very good.
Yeah.
And I've also got to say... it's your successor to Skyrim.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Hang on a second. Stu, is it first person?
It is. No.
All right,
then. You know it's not. You know that.
I know it. And don't get me wrong. Look, I'm going to play this. I'm going to love it.
Oh.
But one of the things about Skyrim is that it's first person and that it's a single individual. And I know that Dragon Age is not.
Yeah, there is that. There is that. It is totally different.
It doesn't make it a bad game. It doesn't mean that I won't love it. But there's something about the, you know.
But what they've managed to do.
Yes.
Is create the scale of Skyrim in a Dragon Age game. That's
awesome. And is it truly open now?
Yes, sort of. Well,
that's a no, and that means
it is. No, it is. Right.
No,
right. Hinterland. Right. Okay. Let me just tell you. Listen, Hinterland which is the first area in the game, is probably about three quarters of the size of the whole of Skyrim.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's not the open world as in the way Skyrim is open world, is it?
Yes, it is. Totally like that.
No, yeah, because like, totally you have open. Different areas. Like,
can you
yeah, well, each
area,
of those areas.
You wander around and suddenly you find a cavern and you go in it and it's like...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. Look, I'm not being...
It's like the first area.
Dude, let me say this. I'm not hoping it won't be like you describe it. I would love for it to be as you describe it. I'm just nervous that I will play it and I'll be like, it's not exactly the way Screw described it.
Right, okay. The one thing I would say, right, there are caverns.
Uh-huh.
They aren't as big.
Well, of course.
They don't really go very far in.
Yeah, well.
But you'll have things to fight in there. There might be some spiders in there, or wild dogs, or wolves, or like bandits. You come across lots of bandits in the open world areas as you're wandering around that you have to fight randomly.
Yeah.
There's just an absolute shitload of side missions. It just constantly throwing stuff at you. There's just
cool. That's what I mean. All BioWare games do that.
Yeah, but they're obviously all within the open world area.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
And it's huge. And then there are other areas the same size as the first one you're going.
Yeah.
Which is three quarters of the size of Skyrim, I would have said, I guess.
Yeah.
And then there's all these other ones you can go in. It's a truly a massive world.
Is there enchantment?
And, there is enchantment, for sure.
Enchantment!
It's not done quite in the same way, though.
Oh, of course not.
It's not done. They've sort of trimmed a lot of the stuff out. It's interesting because there are two types of ways of sort of doing the combat. There's the first is the action way, which is action. A strictly third person. You can control. It's weird, really, because you obviously pick your character at the beginning. You can pick from like a warrior, a mage, a rogue, and I'm trying to remember what the other one is. In fact, is there only three? There might only be three character classes. Can't remember, but you have four in a party. But what's kind of interesting, once you've picked your character, you can play as any of them, but it is weird. You tend to play as the one that you've picked yourself,
yeah,
which is kind of strange. And it's gone back to it's very much like the original Mass Effect,
yeah,
in so much as that you have to level up your party as you go along, which I'm assuming Dragon Age did as well. Oh, I only played Dragon Age for a bit. Yeah, so it's very much, it does feel very Mass Effect-y in that respect, in the way that you do it. But there's just tons of loot. So every time you kill something, it drops something.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you get rings.
Now,
and
let me ask
amulets.
You this. When you're in your inventory, can you indicate that things are junk?
No. What? But what it does, it doesn't, right, you can destroy stuff, right, or you can sell it.
Well, of course, that's the way it's always been. Why is there no junk setting yet?
No, there isn't junk, but you don't really pick up junk. You tend to get, like, bracelets and stuff, which are obviously worth money, so you just go and flog them.
Yeah.
So you just go and sell it to the merchants, and then you can buy other stuff.
Each time when you go to a vendor, instead of being able to say, sell all junk, like, that's become...
Yeah, you can do that. No, you can do that. All your valuable, you can just sell everything that's in there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's...
You just click on sell all, and it just sells everything.
Okay. I thought... Well, but wait what if there's like a sword you don't want to use yet?
No. Right, okay.
It's
set out in categories, so it has like weapons, armor, amulets, and accessories, and then it has valuables, so stuff that's just worth money. But
boring. Jesus.
Wait a second. So if I have a sword... That I don't want to use. I want to sell it. I put it in the valuables slot.
No. You just right. What's kind of cool about this game is it also separates your weapons by category as well. So you can just have like go into long swords and just sell the ones you don't want. And you never really carry more than about four of the five of them
right,
at the same time.
Though,
anyway.
If I don't want to have to when I go to the vendor try to figure out which ones I want to sell. I want as soon as I pick it up, I want to compare it to the one I'm holding and say I don't want this. I will put it in the junk file. But you said something you can't do that. Which I mean, whatever.
No,
you
can't.
Feel, but that's kind of frustrating to me.
You can just destroy it or sell it, but you're obviously better off selling it because you'll get a bit of cash for it then. Yeah. It is interesting, but you've obviously got to equip out your other characters, so you're always looking at what weapons you've got that they can use.
Right.
And what's frustrated me slightly is that rings, for instance. I've got loads and loads of rings, but the vast majority of the ones that I've got are only suitable for warriors.
Well, of course.
And I'm a mage, so I'm like, well, that's no good to me. And occasionally you'll get one for the other classes, so it's a bit unbalanced at the moment. Warriors got loads of stuff, and the other characters don't have as much. It's been, you know, as with a lot of next-gen games, it's been glitchy.
Yeah,
I've had issues. I had a mission where I had to talk to a woman, but it wouldn't let me talk to her. The, you know, the speech thing.
Don't worry, Stu, don't worry. Every time I try to talk to a woman, they never talk to me. It's just life.
It is just life. And to complete that mission, though, I had to get into this city, but I couldn't get into the city until I'd spoken to her, and it wouldn't let me speak to her. So I had to reload a save, and then when I did that, it would work properly then. I've had one of the funniest things is obviously when you're speaking to somebody, everybody is still moving around in the background. The game is still running when you talk to people. So I've had loads of weird stuff happen with that. So I'll be talking to someone and AI characters will just wander in and walk in and out backwards way and do moonwalks like Michael Jackson and loads of weird stuff. So that happens quite a lot. So it is
that happens in like Assassin's Creed and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, right? It's a bit rough around the edges in some respects. And I've, you know, some of the combat sometimes the sound of the combat just disappears for no reason. So you'd be in the middle of a fight, and then suddenly all you'll hear is the ambient background noise and nothing else. Yeah, so you'll not hear anyone.
Rush out and get a next gen console, all right?
I know, but that all. Being said,
it works. It works beautifully, and it's awesome. And I want to.
And since Friday afternoon, when I got this game, I've played 15 hours.
Well, that's very impressive. That's a good sign
already. And in that 15 hours, probably 13 of them have just been wandering around Hinterland doing side missions. And today was the first day where I actually started doing the main story mission.
Yeah.
Some of the side missions, I mean, there's some of them are just terrible. One was right. There was one, right, where... Right, they're not buffaloes in this game. They're druffaloes.
Right.
Okay.
Is it? It's a church. It's a chantry.
Yes, a chantry.
Ridiculous.
But anyway, the one of the side missions was... You find this... You go to this farm, and the farmer's lost his prized druffalo. Right? Yeah. So you have to go and find the druffalo. So it gives you a vague area on the map where it might be, and then you have to trek off over there and get it. But it obviously had its own pathfinding thing, so it followed you. But if you didn't go in exactly the right path that it was supposed to follow, it just got stuck and just stood there doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And it took me like 20 minutes to get this druffalo back to the farm.
See?
And when I finally got it back there, it was worth barely anything for my stats or anything. So I was like, well, that was a bit
worth
of a waste.
Getting a quest off your quest list. Now, does it have the abandoned quests?
Do you know? I don't think it does.
Because that's something that kind of bugs me. Is that I think RPGs ought to be at a stage where you could say, you know what, I don't want to deal with this quest anymore. But as it is, you have it sitting there forever. Like you said, you'd get this guy's buffalo.
Yeah, I'll have to look. I mean, I must admit, the one thing it does, which you know, Mass Effect games have done before, it is, you know, and Dragon Age, you can auto upgrade your squad, so you don't have to fanny around checking and deciding. But it is interesting because I auto upgrade a new. I've just come across a new character who is just brilliant.
Yeah,
and she's called Sarah, and she's the best character I've come across in the game so far, and now she's part of my squad, and she's just funny.
Cool.
And it starts off the scene, and this is kind of a spoiler.
No, please. Okay, well, I'm going to go on silent.
All right, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say it.
I know that it's...
Needless to say, the way she's introduced was just hilarious.
Well, that's good. And I'm looking forward to playing it. I do kind of want to be...
I'm absolutely telling you now, Drew, you will absolutely love this game. But what I'm also going to say to you is don't get it on the 360... Because it's had terrible, terrible feedback.
Well, we'll see.
Here's a question for you, though, Stu.
Yeah.
Would I like it?
If you like Mass Effect, I think you would.
But didn't we try to get him to play one of the Dragon Age games earlier?
Yeah, but this isn't like Dragon Age Origins. This is a whole other ball game.
I guess.
I mean, it's a huge open world. The combat's slick. I mean, even the tactical combat's interesting.
Yeah.
So you press your big button. I don't know what it is, obviously, on the X-Bone. But you press the big button, and it sort of gives you a top-down view of all your squad members. And then you can, you can assign them to each of the enemies. So you can assign two to one or two to another or whatever way you want to play it out. What's interesting within that, even in the tactical view, you can choose the powers they're using. So if they haven't already used something, you can sort of instigate it. When you're in the main action way of doing the battling, when you go to choose to use one of your powers, it then still pauses all the action.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cool. It just works. But the actual combat's interesting in so much as your direct combat without using any of my mage's powers. You just hold down the right trigger and the character just does loads of combos and stuff.
Yeah.
So you don't actually hit any other buttons. It's literally just right trigger. And then all the other face buttons are used for all your different special attacks.
Yeah.
And it just works. So I'm playing as a mage. I've picked a lady, which is not something I'm...
Romance storyline.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll have to see. But yeah, I picked a lady character, an elf. I'm an elf mage. I had to spend like 15 minutes putting a makeup on. Do you know what I mean? I was like...
Well, now you know how they feel.
I know. I was like, I don't know what to do. So I just, put some lipstick and eyeshadow and all that kind of jive on. And I've given her a really cool face tattoo. So I've got a cool face tattoo. But I've done loads of cool stuff, and I've just come across this really cool dwarven fortress where I've just had to go and do a mission. And I've not quite finished it yet because I'm just not powerful enough. I just keep getting killed when I try and do this last end bit of the mission.
And one of the things that's been true about Mass Effect and the Dragon Age games is that the missions tend to be really long. Like in Dragon Age 1, there was this mission where you went looking for people in this, dust roads or whatever it is, and that was part of a larger series of missions involving these dwarven people vying for the head of the crown and stuff. And I just remember, if you were going to start that part of the game, you were committing yourself to 3 hours in that one area. And that's one of the things I like about Skyrim too, is that even in Blackreach, and people who've played Skyrim know what I'm talking about, Blackreach, you'd be in and out of Blackreach in an hour or, maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can say is I've started playing the story missions now. So I've started, concentrating more on the main story. And it has got infinitely more interesting than it did just wandering around Hinterland.
Yeah.
As cool as that was. And graphically, it does look nice. There are some weird things with it, though. It doesn't have a day-night cycle. So there's no day-night cycle or anything like that. It's just daytime all the time, which is a bit strange. And it's a bit like the original, early Assassin's Creed, where you get nighttime missions.
Yeah.
So there are missions that are obviously set at night. But if you're just wandering around the world, it's just daytime all the time. I mean, the weather changes and sort of stuff like the clouds, and it'll go dark or foggy or whatever. But it doesn't necessarily... sort of make a whole lot of difference. And to be honest with you, some of the combat does feel a bit hit and miss and a bit random, and there is some skill involved in it, but sometimes it just feels like frantic. When you've got four people all doing the stuff, including yourself, you sometimes can't concentrate on anything the squad's doing. And, your warrior class will just go running straight in and just try and hack the shit out of everything, even though they're probably getting killed in the process.
Yeah.
So that there is always going to be that sort of issue, I guess. I'm loving it. I'm really, really loving it. And it got even better because Tesco knocked £4 off the price of the game, so I've had a £4 refund as well.
Oh, yeah!
So it only cost me £20 in the end. That's how much it cost me in real money. Obviously, I had to use some Tesco vouchers, but it only cost me £20 in cash. So I really can't complain for £20. It's nice, and it's just good. It's a cool world to explore and wander around in, And there's some interesting enemies I've fought so far, and I also played some multiplayer.
Yeah.
So I've been into the multiplayer, and I did that with Rob and Chris MJW and Metric Peter all the way from Australia.
G'day.
G'day. Those three we were playing last night, and the multiplayer is interesting. It's like the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. So it's basically one big massive area that
horde mode.
Yeah, kind of, but you it's progressive horde mode.
Yeah, yeah.
So you complete like one area, and then you go. No.
Extinction mode in Ghosts.
It's like it's interconnecting areas though. So you'll clear an area, then you have to go into a different separate area. But so it's not all in the same place. Well, how am I supposed to know? I don't play any COD games.
Just fucking saying.
How am I supposed to know? Anyway, the good news is it worked.
Put up in your ass.
It's actually worked. I mean, Metric Pizza, bless him, had to come in and out a couple of times when we started the game because he was just stuck on the spot. But apart from that very small issue, it actually worked. Once we were in the game, there were no real problems.
Well, that's probably the game. We had a lot of fun.
And you get a whole new character to play with in that, and you have to level that one up and choose your abilities for the character in multiplayer as well. And there's a store, obviously, with microtransactions. But to be honest, I got enough in-game gold to get stuff, so I've not had any reason to think that you're forced into buying anything. You know, it does feel like everything's fine in that respect. But it's good. I really can't say enough good things about it. You know, like I said, there are the odd one or two issues, but overall it's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
So, Duke, get a new console, man. Just get one and play this game.
Get like a console.
I know it isn't, but they like it. I also have been playing a bit more Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's interesting. It's like, you know, it's like slipping a comfortable pair of shoes on, you know, going back into that game. It's just good.
That's like Skyrim every time I start Skyrim.
It is. So I've played probably about another 2 or 3 hours of Bayonetta 2. So I've given that some love. Given it some love. And I finally got the Sailor's Dream completed. With the help of Millie. I had to have Millie to help me to finish that game. Because there's one part of the game that you have to do something on the hour every hour.
Right.
So she kept on giving me reminders and going, oh, you do know it's 5 to 2 or it's 5 to 3 or whatever. And I was like, oh, crap, yeah, I've got to go in and do what I got to do. And it's good. I like the ending. It's a nice little game. And to be fair, the thing that you have to do on the hour every hour is kind of my favourite bit of it. It's a lot better than the sort of just exploring the areas and reading the sort of text. It was probably the best part of the game and the most well done as well. Very polished, really, really good. And I liked it. I just like what they've tried to do. You know, I've liked what they've tried to do. So good on them. And I think it's a good way of telling a story. I think more developers need to start taking this direction. And authors even, you know, book writers, short story writers, because it's a cool way of doing it. So there you go. There you go. And that's it for me. So we'll come over to you, Duke, seeing as you were late to the show, but we'll let you go and tell us what you've been doing.
I've been playing 700 billion games.
Cool.
A lot to talk about. It's crazy.
Oh God.
I know, right? So first of all is Hero of the Kingdom. Now, I've talked about this before, and I thought it was kind of neat and kind of silly, but for some reason it totally just blew me away once I got going with it. Like, I went back to it recently, and here's what I wrote in my Steam review. Based on the story, which isn't amazing, you're a farm kid whose dad vanishes and you have to go find him, and based on the mechanics of the game, which involves the following elements: 1, clicking on things; 2, end of list. It's just clicking on things. You wouldn't think this game would be very interesting or fun, but it is. It's totally awesome. Now, it's not game of the year, but it's a really, you know, it lasted me like, I don't know, 3-4 hours, and like, it was really fun the whole time. So, you know.
You wrote all that in your Steam review.
I did.
He writes big ass Steam reviews.
I want people to know that what I have to say is valuable. So, I don't know. Hero of the Kingdom, it's like $7. It's totally worth it. If you find it on sale for cheaper, it's definitely worth even cheaper. So, I don't know. If people are on Steam, you should totally check out Hero of the Kingdom because it's simple and it's, you know, it's not very elaborate, but it's really fun and it works very well, and I highly recommend it. So, I finished that.
Apparently, according to my Steam front page, it's been recommended by my friends.
Well, there you go. One of them, anyway.
Yeah,
What was I going to say? Oh, well, whatever. Yeah, oh yeah. It's got the most anticlimactic ending ever. It's just when you defeat the final enemy, it just goes, I mean, you have, you know, it sort of shows you some of the screens you've looked at, and it's like people celebrating, hail to our hero, and then it goes the end, and that's it, and then you're right back in the main menu. So they could have stood to spend a little more time at the end with, I don't know, some kind of
the fun. End is now.
Yeah. A game that I haven't been as impressed by is Reseteer or Reketeer. I don't know exactly how you pronounce it, but
okay.
It's an RPG where you own a shop. So the twist is that you're one of those shop owners that you're constantly dealing with in most other RPGs, right? And
right.
You can choose where to put your inventory, you know, you put your swords by the window, or you put your, you know, cakes that you make by the window or whatever it is. And, I mean, it's kind of a neat twist, right? Like, because most games, it's like adventure for the sake of adventure. And in this case, it's you have to pay off a loan, so you have to run this shop well. But it's the RPG elements are kind of dull because it's an action RPG and it's very anime style. So it's, you know, it's not really clear how far your sword reaches, and you're always hiring other heroes, so you're not even playing the same person all the time. And the dialogue is really cutesy and anime-ish. So, I don't know, Stu, you might like it, but I haven't been blown away.
I like anime. I don't know, is there combat and all that kind of stuff?
No, I mean, it's like, the combat's kind of like the first Zelda game, you know? Like, your sword just sort of, it's kind of top-down. But it's not even top-down, it's sort of tilted. It's just...
Yeah, so like isometric.
Yeah, kind of. But it's just not, the combat's not great, and the rest of the game is fine, but the fact that, you know, you can, look, here, there's two ways to get inventory for your shop. You can either go adventure in dungeons and get stuff that you find there, or you can locate the stuff, you know, buy it from other people and then sell it at a profit. Well, that's right. Boring because that's not, you know, that's not an RPG. So I've been adventuring into dungeons, and every dungeon is like five levels, and as soon as you get to the fifth level, there's the boss, and if you get killed by the boss, you lose everything you found in that dungeon. So the last time I played it, I got to the end of the dungeon, but I got killed by the boss. So it's like, you can keep one thing you found in this dungeon. And I'm like, well, that just made the last 10 minutes a waste of time.
So, I thought he was going to say hour then or something.
Well, it's not quite that bad, but it's just, I don't know. I've not been blown away by this game. Oh, look, do you have it on the thing? Yes. So, I mean, whatever. It's kind of cute and... You know, the premise is good, but it's just so cutesy and not great. So, Reketeer, not very thumbs up from me. The next game I've been playing is a very, very cheap game. This was like 50 cents on the Steam Weekly Sale, I think, something like that. And the game is called The Collider, which right away makes me think of the Simpsons episode where he goes, I am the collector. Yeah. But in this case, it's The Collider, and... The best way to describe this is, did you ever play
it? It makes me think of the colander, you know, just like sort of a utensil.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, actually. It's funny you should mention that. Y'all ever play that nitrous oxide game on the PS1?
Nope.
Jenny, nope. Ever play that one? That was awesome. It was a good game. I played. Yes, thank you, Star for Help in the chat said, Duke, you don't play weird and shit games. You play pure shit games. Sometimes I do, but sometimes I play awesome games. Anyway, The Collider, it's a lot like Nitrous Oxide, because Nitrous Oxide was this great game for the PS1 where you were going down this like bug hole, and you're constantly moving down. You're constantly moving down this sort of, you know, tube or whatever, and you had to... you know, shoot the bugs and all that. Well, this game's kind of like that, except there's no shooting. All you're doing is going down this little, you know, tunnel, and occasionally there are some spinning barriers in the thing, and you have to kind of, you know, they'll have like a circle in part of the barrier, and you have to aim into the circle.
Oh, I know someone who'd love this game. Oh,
you would probably like it, huh?
Oh, yes. I can see it straight away.
Well, it's probably still on sale, so you might want to check it out, because it was really cheap. So
yeah, she would definitely love
it. It's exactly what it sounds like. There's not much of a game to it. You know, the idea, it's kind of Super Hexagon-ish in that every time you clear like five of the barriers, it speeds up a little bit. So the goal is to keep speeding up and not hit any barriers, and there's not much to it other than that. So it's, you know, it was worth the 50 cents I paid for it.
Just out of interest, you know, quite a while ago, I spoke about a game called Duet, which I said was Millie's sort of hexagon replacement. She has completed every single level in that game, everything, and every day she does the daily challenge. They have daily challenges every day now, and she completes every single one of them.
I'll be honest, I tried that for like 20 minutes, and I got real frustrated with it. And I was like, I'm done with this.
She's completed everything. I mean, again...
Well, your daughter's just awesome.
She is. It's phenomenal to watch her play it. I mean, I watched her play the final level of the game, and it was ridiculous. And she's playing this game, and the blocks are disappearing as they're coming down. So you've got to estimate where they're going to be when you get to them. Because you can't see them anymore. They're not even there. They're invisible.
Yeah.
She's just crazy, honestly to God. When she gets her hooks into a specific game, she will... I mean, it's like Mutant Muds. She played the whole of that, every level, everything, unlocked everything, finished the whole game, had the credits three times because there's like three different endings to the game.
Yes.
And every time you finish one, it unlocks a whole load more, even harder levels. And now she's so sad because they haven't done an update for iOS 8, so it just doesn't work anymore. And she keeps asking. She's like, "Have they done an update yet?" And I'm like, "No, I don't think so. It's not. It's not come up on the updates." And
well,
she's like, "No."
I'd love to hear more about Millie's what she's.
Anyway, we'll get her to play.
She's actually with us.
Yeah.
Evil Shredder sent me a Steam message about this new bundle that was available called the Bite Bundle or something like that, and it was a number of very cheap games for very cheap. It was like $2.50 for all these different games, four games, not all these different games. And the main reason he told me about it is because of a game called Retro Pixel Castles, which he said was a lot like Banished, the game I talked about a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It's a village building game. Well, Retro Pixel Castles is sort of like that, except that it's top down, it's not finished, and it's really not great. It's the premise is good because it's the same premise as the other game that I was playing, Banished, but there's no reason I would ever play this because it's, you know, I bought the bundle because I was curious. And the other games looked interesting too, and I will play them. I played one of them.
So explain what it is, Duke. What do you do?
So Retro Pixel Castles is a game. It's a village building game. You start off with like 30 villagers and you tell them what to chop, like, okay, there's trees and there's rock, and you tell them, okay, get the trees from this area and then get the rock from this area, and you kind of paint the screen with the collection palette to tell them gather the stuff from here, gather the stuff from there, and then you assign builders to go after certain materials and whatever, and then you tell them build this thing here, build the village center here, or whatever it is. And it's very early in the development cycle, so you can't save the game, for instance.
Right.
Which is a bit of a flaw. Because
A tiny one. But don't die, I guess.
Well, if you
Well, even if you just stop playing, it doesn't say.
And suddenly it's like, okay, I got to go do something else, or I'm done playing this for now. It's going to go away.
Right, so when you come back, you just start again from the beginning.
I don't know. I've never come back, so...
There you go.
So that's that. And then there was another game in the bundle called OMG Zombies, which I think somebody has talked about at some point. I don't know if either one of you or someone else on another podcast, but...
Of the two of us, Duke, do you really think it would be me?
Yeah, it's definitely not.
I know
me.
How much you love these games. Well, it might have been an Xbox indie game or something because it's that simple. So OMG Zombies is a game where you are a member of like a military force going out to kill zombies, and the fact that it's zombies has nothing to do with the game. The idea behind the game is you shoot one zombie, and then because of the nature of this zombie attack, it will shoot. Or it'll explode and hit another zombie near it, and then that zombie will explode and hit another zombie near it. So the idea is to hit zombies that are near other zombies, but not too near them. In other words, you need to space them out. So it's basically just sort of like you light a firecracker and you see how many of the other firecrackers around it you can hit.
Right.
And it's kind of neat, but it's not like a zombie game, really. It's a zombie game, obviously, because you're shooting zombies, but the core mechanic of it doesn't have anything to do with like staying alive or any of that. It's just trying to time out how you get the zombies near each other to die. So
I quite like the art style, though.
The art style is cute. The text, they're really bad font because it's hard to read and kind of clumsy.
But I mean, it's whatever.
Impact font, I think.
It is Impact, yes. And I mean, Impact is titles and like numbers, but it's really bad for a paragraph of text. So why are they doing? Come on, people. Anyway, a couple more games here. Craft the World has been on my Steam wish list for a long time, and it was recently a daily special, like half off. So I was like, well, I'd be a fool not to get it. So I got Craft the World, and I played it for a little bit. And the Craft the World is a combination between Terraria and Dwarf Fortress, apparently, and an RTS game. So the idea is that you start off with one little dwarf guy, and then you get others as you build things. So the progression is you get more helpers. And it's kind of like Lemmings too, because instead of saying, okay, this guy needs to go do this, what you do is you say, this thing needs to get done. This rock needs to get dug up, or this tree needs to be chopped down. And then one of your guys will go over and do it, right? And it's a crafting game, so you are gathering resources, you are, building a home for yourself, that's the first thing you do, and you can make better weapons for yourself, make better digging implements, you make beds for your guys to rest in and all this stuff. Eventually, you have monsters attacking you, so I didn't really know what I was doing at first in terms of building my home, so the monsters started attacking before I had a home built. And I reached kind of panic mode where I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I need to do. So I started off not that great, but I'm getting the hang of it. And it's a very, it's a cool game.
It looks nice.
It is very nice. It's very well done. There's nothing. Once you figure out what you're doing, it all makes sense. And the systems are sensible.
Terraria and Lemmings were two very good comparisons because it looks...
I love the art style. I think it looks really cute.
Very clean art.
Yeah, it's got a very nice... I mean, even the way the clouds look are cool.
Yeah. I feel like, again, in the same way that Dragon Age is that third-person party game, I feel like this is a, you're removed from the action. It's side-scrolling type of thing, and you have groups of people. And, for whatever it's worth, I kind of prefer having just one guy that I control, or a gal. So, I don't know. When it comes to crafting games, my preference kind of leans in that direction. So, if I was going to play a 2D crafting game, I kind of feel like, well, I would play Starbound instead of playing this. But, on the other hand, it's new and it's very well done, so I'll probably keep playing it.
Yeah. No, it looks good.
Yeah.
It does look good.
All right. Four more.
Four more? Oh, my God.
I've gone crazy. And it's nuts because I haven't really had all that time. I don't think I've had a lot of time. It's just that... I don't know. Each night, I guess, I played one of these games or whatever it is.
Anyway, it's weird, right? Because you buy all these very cheap games. But I often wonder if you added all together, all those cheap games you bought, how much it would come to and how many normal games you could have bought.
Normal games, thanks.
No, I mean not normal games, but full titles, big titles.
Yeah, I know. And the other thing is that when I pay 50 cents for a game or $1.50 or whatever it is, that makes the game disposable. You know what I mean? So that it becomes a thing where it's like, oh, I don't, if I never play this again, whatever. I got 20 minutes of entertainment out of it. That's fine. So
yeah, I guess.
I don't know. That's kind of weird for when I think about it that way. But anyway, the next game I've been playing is Lord of the Rings War in the North. And I bought this a while ago on some sort of sale. And it's just been sitting in my Steam inventory. And recently I said to myself, you know what? I played that. I talked last week about Master Reboot, and I realized that was not scratching the itch for a story-based game at all. So when I finished Hero of the Kingdom, I said, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot with this Lord of the Rings War in the North. And I know that Greg DeLacy, I think, liked this one, or maybe it was Steve Conger. Somebody said...
No, it was Steve Conger.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember him liking it.
It's good. It's a good action RPG. It's Lord of the Rings, so that's always a plus, right? You kind of weave in and out of the Lord of the Rings story, but you're not really in it. So, you meet with Aragorn at the beginning in the Prancing Pony. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And basically he says, you have to go and fight this other group that's nearby and also threatening Frodo and them.
So, isn't this squad-based?
It sort of is. It's designed to be a co-op game, but I don't know anybody who's playing it on the PC. So anybody who is, let me know, and maybe we could play some together. But
probably no one.
It is a squad of three, but here's the nice thing. It has pretty decent AI. So
if you're playing it alone, you will have two comrades with you who will do everything they need to do independently. You don't have to give them orders. You don't have to ask them for things. You can give them equipment. I guess you call it kit, but you don't really have to. So it's the type of thing where like I'll be fighting, you know, I'm the warrior dude most of the time. So I guess you can switch in between missions, which is cool. But anyway, so I'm the warrior and the human warrior, and or I guess I'm aiming an elf. I don't know what I am. But the woman who's the sort of wizard person, she'll cast a healing dome. And so I'll be in trouble. I'll be hurt. And I'll say like, oh, I could drink a health potion, but I don't have too many of those. Maybe I should save them. And suddenly she'll say, come be healed. And I'll go run to where she is, and then it'll heal me in her little dome. So it's the type of thing where, you know, it's good AI from what I can tell so far. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's nothing. The story is, like I said, pretty basic, and the idea is you run through this series of ruins, you find some goblins, you fight the goblins, you run away, and then you emerge from the ruins, and there's one of them big birds, and he's chained up. So it's like you got to fight some more goblins while you free the bird, and then he gets free, and you can call him in, and it's like, ah! And he bites off goblins' heads and stuff. You know, it's a fun little action RPG. Again, I'm glad I didn't pay much for it. But it's good.
Do you think you're going to see through, though, Duke? Do you think this is
going to you're
going
to get to the end.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I never saw Kingdoms of Amalur to the end, so I don't have a good track record on finishing, especially action RPGs, because action RPGs never really hook me with the story. You know, they're not Hero of the Kingdom. So I'm not particularly drawn into the story of this one. But on the other hand, yeah, it's fun. I don't know. We'll see. But I do have another game that I am interested in the story in, so I think Stu knows what I'm talking about. Ah.
I do. What's seen it on your list.
Two more.
Two more till we get there, though.
Right, I know, right? Okay, so there's this new MOBA that's free called Tome, and I was like, ooh, a free MOBA. Okay, what have I got to lose, right? So I downloaded it, and it's exactly what you pay for. There's no reason to play this when you could be playing Dota. Except the only thing that the biggest selling point that this game has, and they do use it as a selling point, is the matches are much shorter than Dota matches. So a Dota match will usually go 30 minutes or 45 or even an hour. These matches tend to take 15 to 20 minutes in Tome. So that's like their big selling point. Like, if you don't want to have to spend an hour on a match, play Tome, because these are over in 20 minutes.
That might be a legitimate reason for somebody playing this, though, because like, someone's like,
it's free. It's kind
of more bite size.
Yeah, it's not pay to win exactly, but it is. It's you can pay to get different heroes, which that kind of bothers me, because one of the things about Dota is that it's totally level. I mean, it's a level playing field. If you know how to use a hero, you can use the same hero that other person would like to use or whatever. That said, it's a MOBA. It plays pretty much like every other MOBA. The bots are good. Like, I've only played bot matches in this game, and the bots kick my butt hard. So I must really not be good at it, which I'm not. I mean, I'm real rusty with my MOBAs, but even so, I think that the bots are just – and they're on easy. So I'm like, what the heck? They would destroy me on normal. Damn.
Yeah.
But it may also be the thing where I have bots on my team, and if we had humans, it might be better. So I might play it with, you know, humans at some point. But anyway, so I played that, and I wasn't too impressed because, like I said, it was really hard. And I don't know. I don't feel like learning a new MOBA now. But then I thought, you know what? You know, the reason I didn't play Dota for a while, the reason I haven't played Dota, and I may go back to it, who knows, maybe next week I'll be like, I'm back into Dota! Woo! But the reason I stepped away from Dota is because, like you said, Shani, those matches are kind of an investment, you know? Especially when I have, like, 20 minutes, you know, if we've ordered food on Friday night and I got 20 minutes before the food shows up, like, I'll be like, you know what? I don't want to start a match like that now, because I can't walk away in the middle of it, or I can, but I'll lose prestige and, you know, whatever. So anyway, Awesome Knots I went back to, because that is a 2D side scrolling MOBA, and it's really good. I mean, I'd played it before and I didn't really get into it very much, but now that I feel like I've got a better sense of how MOBAs work, I'm doing better with it, because the thing I tried to do when I first started playing MOBAs is go after the enemy heroes, which that's not the way to play a MOBA. You know, you can occasionally get enemy kills, and they're very gratifying in a MOBA, but that should not be your primary concern or goal. Your primary goal needs to be killing minions and slowly whittling away at your enemy's towers. Like, that's your main mission. And if you can occasionally kill an enemy hero along the way, fine. But when you make that your priority, you end up overextending yourself, and then you get killed, and then you're hurting your team, and yada, yada, yada. So playing MOBAs, man, let me tell you, there's a lot to it.
There is depth, man. There's depth.
There is. All right. Enough of all of that. Let me talk about the game that Stu wants me to talk about.
Come on.
Yes. I got South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Yeah.
This is
still in my potential game of the year.
It isn't on.
Yeah. All right. So, I was at the Communist Game Shop, and I sold back the Need for Speed Most Wanted, because I wasn't playing it, and I was like, you know what, I don't think I'm ever going to play this again, so I sold that. They didn't want Killzone 3 back, so I had to keep that.
They didn't want it.
They didn't want it back. They said, we're overstocked, we'll give you $2 for it if you really want to get rid of it, and I'm like, no, I can't handle that, so I'll keep it. Maybe I'll play it some more, who knows. You know how fickle I am. Maybe next week I'll be like, Killzone 3 is awesome, oh my god.
Maybe.
Yeah. So anyway, South Park Stick of Truth. Like you said, Stu, it is exactly like watching a South Park cartoon. When you start the game and you make your own character, it says, put your name in, and then Cartman goes, you have chosen the name Douchebag. Are you sure you want to use the name Douchebag? Which is funny. And it says yes or no, but you can't choose no. So you have to click yes. And it's like, are you sure? Whatever. It was very amusing.
It is amusing.
Yeah. I like the fact that I made a black character, and my parents were black, so Chinny is playing the stream in the feed of your parents, and so they fixed it to match my character's racial background, which I thought was cool, although they still had straight hair, so it's like, what's up with that, racist? But anyway.
Anyway.
I could have been wearing a weave.
Yeah, it's true. The battle system is good. It's a kind of turn-based combat, which I like, as you know, so that's good. The humor is solid. It feels a little fetchy in terms of the quests, but whatever. I don't mind that too much. And, I explored the house as soon as I got there, and I got like $5 just by looking around this house.
Have you done a poo yet?
I have done several poos, and I have them.
Yeah, because they're very useful in battle, believe it or not.
I haven't tried it yet, but I guess I will.
They are good.
Yeah.
Basically, if you use one in battle, the enemies are sick everywhere, and it weakens them.
Well, all right. I should use.
There you go.
And they've done a good job of mixing in. I guess I haven't said this, but I'm saying it now. They've done a good job mixing in some action elements so that it's not just click to attack and that's the end of it. You know, you have the.
Oh no! I mean, towards the end of the game, some of the harder enemies you've really got to fight.
Yeah, that's cool. I wanted to, because of the novelty of it, I wanted to play, you have your choice of being a fighter, a mage, a thief, or a Jew. And I really wanted to be a Jew because I thought it would be hilarious. But then I was like, if I'm going to be playing this game for several hours, I think that joke would get old pretty quickly. So I went for fighter. I wanted to be a thief because I thought it'd be cool to try to sneak around and use, kind of like subtle stealth techniques, but then I thought it would be a racist stereotype to have a black character have it be a thief, so I just couldn't do it.
It's
even
just,
though it you're is, playing it to yourself, dude.
I know, right? Isn't
all that right, like, no one's going to see it.
Yeah.
No.
So far, I've only played this for like an hour. I'm not thinking about it in terms of games of the year, but I don't have a lot of other ones on that list, so whatever.
Honestly, as the game progresses, the story's so good. The voice acting, obviously, is impeccable.
Yeah.
Because it really is like an episode.
I will keep playing it, so we'll see.
I do plan on playing South Park before the year end. So, because at the moment, like you say, Stu, like the game of the year list is a bit small, at the moment. So I'm looking to sort of pad it out. And South Park's on that sort of hit list of games.
It is, and it's still, even though I loved Ethan Carter, and even though I'm loving Dragon Age, South Park still definitely is figuring up there as my favourite game this year, but it's that long since I played it, you know what I mean? But what I do remember about it, and you know what I'm like for finishing games, I played this game until I finished it, I just played it. You know, I didn't have any breaks. I didn't stop playing it for any reason. You know, I just played it through from beginning to end because it just, the story and the voice acting and everything about the game is so good. It just keeps you going. You never get bored of playing it.
To be honest, I think
good.
I think Dragon Age Inquisition will be a lot of gamer years this year. Yeah. There doesn't seem to be much else out there that has blown many people away.
Yeah.
You know.
Shadow of Mordor, I think, will
Shadow
be
of Mordor,
definitely.
Yeah. I just feel like that Inquisition is more bang for your buck when it comes to compared to Mordor, you know, which I'm sure is a fine game, but you know, I just compare that to sort of what you get in Mass Effect and, you know, Shadow of Mordor to me.
I think the biggest thing for me at the moment is I've not really been that drawn into the story of Inquisition. But I think as I play it more, you know, I've started playing more of the main storyline now, and it's interesting. It's nothing unique about it at the moment, but the characters are interesting. Obviously, it's very well voice acted, and the dialogue's pretty well written. So, yeah,
anyway,
we'll see. Yeah.
Duke, is there anything else you want to talk about? Safe Park?
No, I've talked plenty. That's me.
It's a good game. Yeah. It's good. I think you'll enjoy it more as you get further into it, though.
Yeah,
I do. Titanfall. Who's saying Titanfall for Game of the Year? Are you having a laugh?
Who said that?
And Step J.
So, well, you know, you can't argue with somebody else's game of the year, can you?
No, you can't. Anyway, Chinny, I'm more interested in what you've been up to. What have you been playing this week?
Not tons, but I will.
Not tons.
I will start it off with a bit of Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Right, okay.
I downloaded this on my iPad ages ago. And
free to play. You don't have to pay.
It's a free to play game, and I heard that even though it's free to play, it's still, you know, pretty good, and you don't have to pay a penny, and you can play through the whole game. And because I was on the Eurostar coming back from Brussels, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna play it, I'm gonna give it a go, and I really, really like it. I think it's a great game, really enjoying it. It seems a lot harder than Plants vs. Zombies, and it's very hectic. I feel like there's a lot more going on.
Free to play, baby. That's how they want to make you spend your money, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and I feel like that's why, yeah. It's harder because they want you to sort of have that, like, temptation to spend a bit of money.
Buy some assistance.
Yeah. I don't think... there's sort of, for me, there's a bit of a challenge in not doing that. You know what I mean? It's like I almost don't want to do it to beat the game, as it were. So, but I really like it. I'm going to keep playing it because I'm enjoying it a lot. So, yes. Plants vs. Zombies 2 is good. Have any of you two played it?
I played it. I played quite a lot of it.
Nope. Yep. I still played the first one, although I do have it.
I think the problem is, because I only have obviously a 16 gig iPad, when something else comes along, you have to delete something. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll delete that.
Yeah.
So that's what tends to happen to download something else.
I don't know how many gigabytes my iPad is, but whatever. Yes, so I played that, and I'll continue playing that. I don't know what year it came out. I don't think it came out this year, did it?
I don't think so. I think it was the latter end of last year when this came out.
Still think so.
I don't think so.
But the other game that I've been playing, which is on the 360.
Okay.
Is Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein!
I've not got around to playing this yet. I've got it. But, you know, Dragon Age and other stuff has got in the way, really, to be
Wolfenstein! So, Wolfenstein came out. It's one of these games that came out on the 360 and the Xbox One. You know, it's a double generational game. And I have to say, my biggest problem with Wolfenstein is mainly because it technically ain't great, and it feels like that they made it on the bone and the PS4 first.
This has, did you say? Just let me just clarify. It's four discs. Is that right?
This has four discs.
Shit, that's huge.
Four discs. It took me 45 minutes to install the first disc because you have to install the first disc.
Oh my god.
And at this point, I am contemplating, like, is it really worth playing these games on the 360 anymore? You know what I mean? Anything past 2013 is like, is it really worth it?
You're just not optimized for that anymore, are
they?
That's a trouble.
And it feels like it was developed on the next-gen consoles and then ported over, because there's a lot of textures on the wall and on the floor that look like they should have popped in, but then you realise they don't pop in, and that's the final texture.
They just turned everything down from 11 to 2.
It just looks like garbage, and you can't even make out some of the photos on the wall. And
it's funny.
Really bad, and there's some really like sort of technical stuff, like you turn around and things do pop in or jump in, and you know, which is a shame because it's a really nice game. You know, I haven't played a game like this for a while, and I think Duke can sort of testify to this. You know, it's a stupid game where you shoot stuff, right?
Really, a stupid game where you shoot stuff, like Vanquish.
But it's a good game, stupid like game Vanquish. Where you shoot stuff. Yeah, and I like
Urkel.
They don't make many games now where it's a first person shooter and you go up through and it's got good levels and shit happens and you die. No,
it's got a good story. I've heard though.
All right, don't go crazy here.
I've heard it's got a good story.
Let me tell you the story, Mr. Fowler. The story is you kill Nazis and then you get caught by some mad German scientist, and then you get blown out of a building and you get put into a coma for 16 years, and you wake up and you still have the same physique, perfect body, and you just you kill more Nazis, pretty much. It's really nice, and the few things about the game that I really like is the weapons feel good. I think that's obviously a big important point of a first person shooter, but many of them don't get it right.
That's true.
The weapons feel nice, and you know, feel like they've got some weight to them. Another good part is there is quite a bit of stealth in the game, but it actually works. It works pretty well, and I feel like if you get caught, you know, you don't really mind too much. You just carry on, you know, just shoot. Okay, I guess I'm shooting everything now. I mean, they do sort of notice you pretty quickly, but the stealth's good, and you can also throw knives as well, which makes it easier to make the game stealth. So if you just see somebody, you can just throw a knife and it instantly kills them. Doesn't matter where you throw it. I threw a knife into somebody's ankle, right, and they just ragdolled straight down. Like, I was like, yes.
Those knives are powerful still.
And you know, look, I like games like this. I like, you know, like Singularity and BioShock, and I just feel like I haven't played one of those games for a while. And it hit me at the right spot, and it really doesn't care about sort of being authentic. Like, you can dual wield pretty much every gun you have. You can dual wield shotguns, assault rifles. It makes no sense on how he reloads them. you know, it's ridiculous, and it's good fun. There's robot dogs for some reason, because this is sort of like an alternative universe where the Germans won. So it's good. I really like it. There's the few things about it that I sort of don't agree with. You have to pick up the ammo everywhere, so you have to press X to pick up your ammo when you see a gun.
Right.
You can't just walk over it and get it. You have to press X and pick it up. The health system isn't the traditional. Well, I say traditional. I suppose this is more traditional. This is the health system where you have 100 points and you have armor and you have to collect it. And your health doesn't regenerate. Like, well, it does, but it only regenerates back to, like, I think the nearest 20. You know, so 20, 40, right. 60, 80.
So it's in chunks.
Yeah. So you have to collect health, whether you like that or not. I'm not a massive fan of that.
I didn't used to, but I guess it'd kind of refreshing to go back to that kind of system, isn't it?
It does make you a little bit careful. It definitely makes the game a little bit harder, and it does make you sort of not do stupid things. You don't just run in anywhere. So I suppose for that, it is quite nice. But when you get faced with some bigger, like, robots and stuff, it can get really tricky. But you know, it's good. You know, and the cutscenes look nice even on the 360 when the cutscenes kick in. You can see that white four discs because the cutscenes are very well done. Take up a lot of memory. You know, and I believe that's probably why it's on four discs. So I installed the first disc. So you don't even play on the first disc. You just install it. You put the second disc in, start playing, and now I'm on the third disc. So there's you know, there's a lot. Yeah, I do sort of think, is this worth it?
I mean, it's weird because I know I'm going to like this game, You know what I mean?
It's good.
I know that I'm going to like it.
Sorry. The reason...
I'm just too busy playing other stuff, though. That's a problem.
I was in the mood for this. I really wanted to sort of play a first-person shooter where I just shot Nazis, you know, and it was all good fun. It does keep, you know, throw some surprises at you. Like, you know, the characters are pretty good in terms of... Don't get me wrong. We're not getting a... You know, we're not getting a bloody Citizen Kane here. You know, it's fine. You know, it, like when I talk about the story and what the characters, they're recognisable. They're different enough. The ones you got a Scottish guy. The action scenes are really good. The levels are well done, and you know, there's a bit of driving here and there, and it's fine. I really like it. They give you a laser cutter, so it's a bit of a no nonsense first person shooter. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of bells and whistles to it, other than it gives you pretty much the freedom to dual wield and kill people and stab people in the neck. The only sort of gimmicky thing that they've got going on is the laser cutter. I don't know if you remember this, Stu. The laser cutter, did you see this?
No, I didn't.
So the laser cutter allows you to...
Right?
Say again?
It's a cutter made out of lasers.
Yeah, and it cuts metal. Yeah, and it allows you to cut through some metal, not all metal, metal. Only the sort of metal that's glowing, saying, cut me.
I was going to say, does it have a glowy bit on it where you can cut
through? And chain link fences that you can do. And sometimes it's quite useful because you can cut through it and you can cut any shape. And I think as the game goes on, because I remember playing the demo at Eurogamer last year, you can cut through stronger and stronger metal. And there are some puzzle elements that come in, but I haven't got to that yet. So that's the only sort of gimmicky part of the game that happens. Apart from that, it's your standard first person, hell of a lot of fun Wolfenstein game. And there is an Easter egg that I found today where it made you play the original Wolfenstein.
That's cool.
So you played the original, but your gun and your hand was still the modern version.
Right.
So you was walking around this like pixelated world with your modern gun, and that was a bit of fun. And the way they tied it into the game was you sleep and you have a nightmare,
right?
And that's your nightmare. You're playing the retro game.
Very cool. But just out of interest, Fraser just said it's a 50 gig download on Steam.
Yeah, it's probably the videos are, you know, there's quite a lot of cutscenes. You know, that a lot of the conversations aren't just done on the first person view. It's done like in a cutscene, so it's right. Yeah, you can imagine it would be that.
So there you go.
I like it. That's
so you've not, just out of interest, you haven't purchased GTA 5 then yet?
No, I haven't.
No. I'm shocked, but it might be out there getting that.
Yeah, I don't know why I haven't got it. Because, you know why? Because Marsh isn't back.
Oh, Marsh, right. Come on.
Come on, Marsh, man. We want to hear what the next-gen version is like.
What's the date today?
23rd, is it today?
23rd. Well, he's back. It's back tomorrow. So you watch this space.
It'll be on. By the way, did you, just out of interest, have you watched on IGN, they had a brutal GTA 5 weapon montage thing. Did you see this?
No.
Right. So basically, in GTA 5 now, in first person mode, they have new hand weapons for you to use. So you can now use claw hammer, baseball bat, hatchet, and I think that might be it. I mean, there's those three different weapons, and it's brutal. So they were demoing the first person mode, obviously with a hatchet, running around the like city, hacking people to death with it.
Oof.
And then they were swapping it over to the claw hammer, and then and it was even the noise it made when they were hitting people with it. You know, they've even got the noise, you know, that horrible thunk noise, you know what I mean?
I saw a video on a website called youtube.com.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's going to do okay. And somebody was using first-person mode in GTA 5, and he was looking at a cat, and he accidentally stepped on the cat, and he was gutted. He was like, oh my God, what have I done? And he even said, I think I might restart the game. That was terrible. I've killed Cat.
Well, I saw the other one I've seen, which I thought was really cool, was there was a guy driving in the game, messing around with the mobile phone in-game, and managed to hit something stationary, and the character just flew through the windscreen in first-person view.
Nice.
So even that, I mean, you can tell that they've spent a lot of time getting it, you know, as right as they could do.
Well, they outsourced,
you know, even stuff like that. I don't know, but obviously whoever did it has done a pretty good job. I mean, it's just out of interest. It's got 97 on Metacritic.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, though, here's an interesting thing. GTA 5 on the PS4 has 41 reviews, right? Mm. And it's averaging 97. On the Xbox One, it's got 6 reviews.
There you go.
There you go. And it's 95 on that. But it's just like, why is this, huge discrepancy between PS4 version and Xbox One version?
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, that's a hell of a difference, isn't it? 41 to 6.
Yep.
You know, review-wise. And it's almost making sort of Metacritic irrelevant. I don't see the point of it. I think it's become really fragmented now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just seems a bit odd.
Well, and it seems silly that... Yeah, it does seem fragmented. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, it does. I mean, out of interest...
Move upon that statement.
Out of interest, the Dragon Age WikiLeague has obviously got quite a lot of reviews for both PS4 and Xbox One on Metacritic. 360 and PS3, not a single critic review. The only reviews that are on there are player reviews.
Just brought up the fact that the press were given PS4 copies to review. And that is true.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise.
They do like pick one platform, and then just give them reviews on that one.
Yeah, it is weird though, isn't it? That I think it's becoming less and less relevant, really.
Yeah, so let's stop reading.
It's becoming less relevant.
Why don't we stop reading Metacritic, play the games ourselves, and then talk about it on some sort of online platform? Yeah.
Absolutely. So yes, I may be getting that. Before we go on to the news, though,
you might get GTA 5.
Yeah, I might do it.
Really? I'm shocked.
I might do it again. I'm quite interested. I mean, I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I did enjoy playing it. And
Did you finish it?
I did finish it.
Okay.
We talked about what we picked at the end, didn't we?
That's right.
You know, who we decided to go
Same
with it, etc.
Well,
yeah. Did we do a spoiler show for that? I thought we did a spoiler show.
It's not that great of an ending, to be honest.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
It's like, you got to do one of these things. The end. Great. Brilliant.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, I don't know. I am debating it. But there is a game I'm going to get which is getting a lot of good reviews and could possibly be this year's Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
Possibly. Yep. Which is a little indie game called Never Alone, which we've seen because this was at E3. And it's the one with the little Eskimo boy and like a white fox. And it's sort of a two-person... It can be played in co-op, sort of 2D platform-type game. But just to let you know, it's got 10 out of 10 on Eurogamer, 5 out of 5 on digitally downloaded, and Kotaku said you should definitely play it.
Is it what platform is it on? Steam?
It's on Steam, but it is coming to Xbox One. I think it's already on Xbox One, actually. It's coming to PS4 next week. It's been delayed.
Good.
And it's currently £10 on Steam, so it's not a huge investment. Ooh. It's a tenner. But I may buy the PS4 version, so I'm going to hold out till next week and carry on playing Dragon Age and try and get to the end of that. But I can imagine this isn't going to be a huge sort of investment in time, I wouldn't have thought. But it's getting a lot of reviews. It's saying that there's some emotional shit goes down. So, I don't know.
Damn.
So, I reckon I'm definitely... it looks good. It's a really nice-looking game, by the way.
It does look good.
It's getting some really great reviews.
It looks like a mix between Limbo and Brothers, really.
Yeah, yeah. And it's saying that it's even just the way it's sort of shows you a completely different culture. You know what I mean? And actually you learn about something that you never knew about. Culture. Oh, yeah. So I reckon I might just be getting that. I reckon I might do. It's called Never Alone. Never Alone. It looks very, very nice. So I reckon I'll be picking that up next week on Wednesday when it comes to the PS4. So, yeah, I thought I just might mention it. All right, must mention it. It does look good. That being said, it's time for some Chinese news.
Putting news first.
Hello. Good evening and welcome to the middle of the film.
Okay. Chinny, what is in the news this week?
I don't fucking know. Hang on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do something, Duke. Do something.
I got me a biscuit with some mustard on it.
Hey, what's up?
Okay. I started season 9 on The Office, Paula. Right, okay. Ori and the Blind Forest has been delayed to 2015. It was originally planned. Ori and the Blind Forest. It's like a, you know, like one of these. Look at it. It's so amazing. Sort of games. Developer Moon Studios has delayed the release of Ori and the Blind Forest to early 2015. The game will miss its original launch window of fall 2014, the company confirmed in a statement on Friday.
Well, we are extremely excited for all of you to get your hands on Ori the Blind Forest as soon as possible. We made the decision together with our partners at Microsoft Studios of Turn Japanese. We need to get a little bit more time.
All right, yes, it's delayed, basically. So if you want to play that game, you ain't playing shit.
Yes.
So there you go.
Okay.
Now, I mean, it does look good. I must admit, again, it's a nice art style. Right.
It was that Eurogamer, wasn't it?
It was. It was. We never got to play it, though. We saw it. I looked at it.
And it looked okay.
It looked okay, but I guess we'll have to wait till 2015 for you to find out. I won't find out because I ain't got no
Other news. Evolve. Like Turtle Rock Studios, Left 4 Dead communicates its story in subtle ways. So much of that's
what?
Right.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Evolve's got a story?
That's apparently what? So.
Hold the press.
So much so that it's easier to access, consume, and understand when playing without friends. Hunters crack jokes on the dropship ahead of each match and during respawns, but the majority of the character development and backstories and other details come when they are rolling around together during the single player. Characters' voices are actually dialed down in the multiplayer matches, specifically to reduce the distracting clutter that could intrude on tactical conversations while hunting monsters. This is a quote.
A lot of storytelling is going to be a lot more obvious when someone decides to play solo because team communication is so important. We are backing off some of the character VR when it's four people playing.
Creative director Phil Robb told IGN,
"We didn't want to create noise that could potentially make it more difficult to communicate with your teammates." Yeah.
So there you go. Apparently there is a story, but it's easy to understand on your own. So it gives you a reason to play it on your own. Bam. What do we think of that?
I just think it's a load of bullshit.
Could be a lot of but Left 4 Dead.
That's what I think.
Left 4 Dead did have very subtle story elements in it.
It kind of did, but I think Left 4 Dead was more traditional in that narrative because you were trying to get from one place to another way to get to a safe house or whatever. I think in Evolve, it's just a bit. It just sounds like you'll learn a bit more about the sort of characters you play as because they'll say stuff when you're playing, but. Unless the AI is really, really, really good, I can imagine that playing on your own with three AI characters is very frustrating.
Maybe it's
better. I can't imagine it'll be good.
Maybe it's better.
It won't be better.
You don't know.
It won't be better. It'll be terrible. It will be truly terrible. There's no game that would get that. I mean, as we know, playing Left 4 Dead on your own was not a fun thing to do.
Oh,
it
no,
wasn't
that bad.
It was all right, but it wasn't great. It wasn't great.
Okay, other news now. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare is the biggest entertainment launch of 2014. Activision This is claimed by Activision. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare has the biggest launch of any entertainment product in 2014 in terms of revenue, coming in ahead of other music, movies, and books released in the year. The achievement is backed up by information including the digital and retail sale through the for the title, compared with reported movie, music, and book gross sales each for the first week following its initial launch. The publisher has also announced that Call of Duty franchise as a whole has now generated over $10 billion in sales revenue since its launch in 2003.
Wow, that is a lot of money, isn't it? That's one big gravy train, that is. I mean, it's interesting because every year we go, oh, bubble will burst this year. Never does it?
But
it never does. People will buy this game, whatever.
It's like FIFA, like they just expect it to be there and they buy it.
I also think that do you know what I think the most successful thing that Call of Duty has done in terms of video games? XP. Do you know what I think it's done?
XP?
No. I think apart from the XP thing, I think that was definitely something obviously that got introduced in obviously Call of Duty 4. But I think that it's sort of Call of Duty has introduced gaming to a lot of non-gamers.
Maybe.
To a lot of people who probably never really played a game until Call of Duty started getting massive, and then they were like, you know, oh, I'm going to get a console and I can play that Call of Duty thing everybody's talking about. And I do think... Yeah, I do think that they've sort of introduced gaming to a lot of what would be traditional non-gaming people. Do you know what I mean?
Cool.
What
you mean?
Yeah, I suppose.
I do think it's good.
You know,
I don't mean that as a bad thing.
What type of gamers are they, though? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Frontier Outlines Elite Dangerous refund policy following the offline mode backlash.
Oh, yeah, this is interesting.
Posting on the Frontier forum, David said that the Cambridge-based company would investigate requests for a refund it had initially denied because people had already played the game. "We initially declined some of people's requests for a refund because I laugh at them, as our records showed that they already played Elite Dangerous Online, the stupid motherfucker. After listening to many of the comments I received after my AMA, that's a Reddit thing, we have since opened these requests and informed those people that I hate them."
It's true.
Yeah, so they didn't refund people's game because they registered to play online. Is that right, Stuart?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
And why were they asking for a refund?
Because basically, as part of the Kickstarter, they said there would be an offline solo mode, and that also you would receive a DRM-free copy of the game.
Right.
So that's it, kind of in a nutshell. What's interesting, though, they've said there's still a solo mode, so you don't have to play with other people, but it still has to be connected when you're playing on your own. But he said that they've tried to make sure that it is a very low amount of sort of bandwidth, and it'll only use about 10 kilobytes a second if you're playing on your own and not with other people at the same time. So there still is a solo mode in the game, but it's just not what he promised as part of the Kickstarter thing. So what he's saying is that the only people they'll give a refund to are people who've pre-ordered the game who haven't played it yet. And anyone who's complaining who's actually been online and played online with obviously a stable internet connection is just kicking up a fuss about nothing. And I kind of agree with him. I'm just a bit like, how many people will be playing this game in solo mode? The whole point of the game. I mean, I know there'll be people who don't want griefing and stuff like that, but that's still available. It just means that they'll have to be online when they play it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get people's, you know, complaints and issues and whinging and whining.
What I don't understand is why people are playing this game in the first place.
Don't be so stupid. By the way, talking of that, I am going to have to order my flight stick this week, I reckon. Get that ordered in time for it, ready to play it when it releases. Say what?
I thought you already ordered it.
No, I've not done it yet. I'm still considering.
I'll do that.
I'm still considering which setup to go for. So, you know, the flight stick is still up in the air, you know, literally. So I'm still considering that. But I need to get it sorted out soon because it is coming in. I think mid-December is about 15th, 16th of December it releases. So, yeah, I'll be needing to get my flight stick ready to go.
Cool story, bro. Tell it again. All right, more news. The Crew open beta hits PS4 and Xbox One next week. Ubisoft will launch an open beta for The Crew, running from the November 25th to November 27th on the Xbox One and the PS4. The beta will be accessible to all Xbox Live and PSN members, but some online features require paid memberships. Well, hold on. Okay, the beta will let players explore the entire United States and complete challenges in 2 of 5 regions available in the game, the Midwest and the East Coast, with PvP lobbies accessible in both. As we all know, though, the Crew and the online beta won't work because nothing fucking works this year. Thank you.
No, I mean, I played the alpha and it worked seamlessly with no issues at all. So I can't see any reason why this wouldn't work.
More people?
There were no reason. And I said, I mean, this is what I was trying to say, you know, when I played the alpha, you know, where a lot of these other online games have fallen down. I think, you know, especially, like I said, over Drive Club, I think the Crew could step in and be that title on the PS4. I really do.
The Crew doesn't seem like anything that's going to blow anyone away for me.
I don't think it's going to blow anyone away, but I think
it's going to go and everyone's going to forget about it.
But I do think that people who've got that racing itch, and obviously we're looking forward to Drive Club, which was just a debacle and still is now. I think even now it's still
going. Yeah, you can play Forza Horizon 2, that is what you can do. Right.
Not if you've got a PS4, you numpty.
Well, buy an Xbox then, I don't know. What do you want?
Or you just buy the Crew, which is a lot cheaper than buying an Xbox.
Is there any more news that you would like to talk about, Stuart?
Let me have a look. I don't think so. We could do the Game Awards 2014. We could just have a quick read through that.
I got away with it.
Yeah, that's the only other thing that's worth maybe a quick mention.
Things that we don't care about because we all disagree and it's so subjective.
But no, I don't think. I'm just saying. These are only the nominations anyway.
I'll do it. Game Awards 2014 nominations. Las Vegas. Something to do with bollocks or something or other.
What's he called? The dude.
I don't know.
Who used to present the Spike TV Game Awards or whatever it was.
Oh, that guy who had that.
Jeff Keighley. He set up his own awards. So that's what this is.
Great. Well, there's a lot of stupid categories that I'm not going to read out.
No, don't.
Right. Online. No. Boring.
Just do Game of the Year one.
Yeah, I just do the Game of the Year. And Developer of the Year. What are those two?
Developer
of the Year. Blizzard, Monolith, Nintendo, Telltale, Ubisoft Montreal.
Yeah, I mean, I've no major issues with that, I guess.
Can we just all give them the all award? They're all great developers. Brilliant. Good.
They're all great.
Settled. Done.
Can I just vote? May the best man win.
Yeah.
Do it.
Go.
Game of the Year. Contenders are Hearthstone, Shadow of Mordor, Dragon Age Inquisition, Dark Souls 2, and nothing else.
You're a liar. Come on, what's the other one? Spit it out.
Teenage Wet Dream 2, or as it's known in Japanese, Bayonetta 2.
Of course it is, because it's going to be amazing. Actually, you know, that's my other potential Game of the Year. I've got lots of potential Games of the Year this year.
Cool story, bro. So that's pretty much the news.
It is. So that's it for the news, people.
There's a Destiny demo for some reason.
Yeah, there's a Destiny demo. It's like a time trial, so you get sort of to play the full game for so long.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, I guess.
I want to play Destiny, old boy. Shut up.
Right. That all being said, we have got some emails. Are you ready for emails?
I'm ready for them.
Go ahead.
Whoa, that ruled.
Okay, and the first email is from... Okay, ready for this name? It's a corking name. Are you ready?
Go on.
It's from Hills van der Benderscum.
Yes.
Yes, there you go. And he says this. He says, about time I wrote.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit normal.
Yes, it is about time you wrote. What's wrong?
It definitely sounds northern when you put it in a northern accent.
I know, I'm going to do it like that. Okay, here we go.
About time I wrote it.
Hello, veteran gamers.
Hello.
I've been listening since before you guys touted G40E Minecraft server and busy studying for the last 4 years as well as working. Woo-hoo, I graduate tomorrow. We are 2-1. Leaving small amounts of time for reading out to you guys, the entertainers. For this, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm about to purchase Xbox with GTA. And after all problems are ironed out, we'll transfer whatever level person I've got over. I've been anticipating ICE since 360 release, and I've never lost that faith. I want basically say four things. Number one, Duke, you fucking rock. Keep on playing sound clips, preferably over Stew. And also, keep on proliferating your dissent. For the political status quo, we find ourselves in globally.
I certainly do not mean Stew.
Your voice is an inspiring to the anarchists such as ourselves.
Take that, the man. We're going to rise up and create a new structure based on voluntary association, not your coercive institutions of greed and violence, suppression of the people's will, or something.
Who starts to doubt himself when surrounded by the sleeping.
Don't be doubting yourself, dude. Stand tall. V didn't doubt himself, did he? You got to get out there and rattle some cages.
It stops me falling into traps.
Yeah, damn right.
Ginny. Keep deriding Stew and stop his head expanding beyond and make sure you interrupt him more than he does you. And if you're up for GTA, and one more interesting part, give me a shout, Aldrex on Xbox Live, and more about the drone. So there you go.
It's a drone.
There's a bit of a theme going on here with this here email, I'm feeling.
Yeah, and he's talking about rising up against the man.
Come on,
come on, yeah. If you don't know the coup, dude, you gotta go check him out. Check it out. Hang on. What? Yeah. Oh man, it loops again. Anyway, 5 million ways to kill a CEO. It's a good song. Check it out.
Number three, Stew. I was listening to you t'other day, continuously talking over to the hosts. I know it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but frankly, it comes over as rude. In iTunes review, a lot complain about sound clips, yet my bugbear is definitely interrupted others. Please exercise a little bit of decorum. Maybe, like your discussion on console versus PC gaming, have to push a button to talk function to stop your mouth running away with itself. Just a suggestion. Sorry if it comes
listen,
over.
Listen.
Can I finish, please? Can I finish?
Alt. Anyway, number four. Lastly, after been listening for years, and you three have informed me and made me aware of so many awesome games, and you all three have made me laugh heaps and make a wood machinist day flat by. Keep up your good... Got the goods. Wait a minute. Keep it up. I'm trying to... Keep it
really up. Now.
Keep it up. You got the goods. Even shoes at WNS games sometimes wield some gold. That's weird and shit, by the way.
Yes.
Big up VG Podcast. Also, did I say more about drone? There you go. More about drone.
Yay.
Ills, aka Aldrex on Xbox, and Ills Vardis Grim on Facebook, Twitter. Sent using unforged letters.
Thank you very much for the very nice, kind email. Just to talk a little bit more about the drone, Step J just asked, I bet you're going to be getting the drone out when it snows. That is correct. We are getting the drone out when it snows because we're going to get some sick-ass footage.
There you go. A little bit of advice for Aldrex. Just be careful you don't get your cock stuck in your lathe. Just saying. So, yeah, you know. You'll be careful with them things, man, when you're woodworking and all that jive. Anyway, this next one is, of course, off Jason. And he says, hey, short fingers. Been looking forward to this end-of-year show, personal stories of cooking, love, and camping adventures. I would appreciate anyone that is a fan of weird and shit, and let's face it, if you listen to this show, well, please follow the Black Glove on Twitter. Yeah, I got my money back because I did back that and it didn't get through. The Kickstarter failed, but they are still trying to gain fans and make it happen. Please, everyone, be a fan. Has anyone in the UK seen the selfies Stu has been posting on these environmentally friendly methane-fueled buses? And that makes two veteran gamers on billboards. Hey, Stu, give the ukulele a go. The fretboard is a lot tighter, but honestly, short fingers are just an excuse. I've seen dudes play guitar with their wieners and toes. Anyway, let the good times roll. Your starving Lord Jason. Oh, yay. Please thank stream you, Dragon Age on American time, you selfish numpty. P.S. Anyway, why do cows moo? So there you go.
You did stream some Dragon Age.
I've streamed loads of Dragon Age. I've streamed about 6 hours of Dragon Age.
It was funny because we was in this very serious conference. I went to Brussels for a conference, Duke. I don't know if you heard that part, but it was a big serious thing. And we was in a room, like a Bond villain room. And it was a big round thing. And I noticed Matt was on his iPad, and I sort of looked. He was quite far away from me, so I couldn't really see him. But I looked at his iPad. I could definitely see BBC Sport on there, so I knew that he wasn't paying much of attention.
Well, that's like, what was it? John McCain playing poker during the Senate hearing at one point?
Yeah, until you sit in one of these things, like, I know when you look at a picture of that and you go, that's terrible, you should be concentrating. These are fucking boring, right? So and Matt got a notification on his iPad, because also we had brilliant Wi-Fi in this place. We didn't have great Wi-Fi in the hotel, but we had great Wi-Fi at the conference. So I was just making use of all like the Wi-Fi, and I was tempted to watch Twitch. And Matt got a notification saying Veteran Gamers is online, and it was you playing Dragon Age in Quiggy Wig, and he was like, "Oh, I was that bored. I just watched it." And it was all good.
Yeah, interestingly, it's not the best game for Twitch streaming, really. Because you spend a lot of time in the menus, obviously sorting out your inventory and leveling up your characters and doing all that stuff. So it's not.
You think that, but like people still watch that stuff. So
I know I've not had tons of viewers. I think the most I got up to was about 26, or something like that, 25, 26 viewers.
Yeah.
So I've not had tons of viewers. I was on today. In the end, I stopped streaming because there was just no one.
That happens. You just keep going because, like, you sometimes you play for like an hour and no one's in, and then all of a sudden it just goes boom, and you got seven people in and ten, and it's just
people dropped in and out, you know, saying hello. So thanks to everybody who sort of stopped by to say hello whilst I was playing.
It's weird. It's a combination of time of day and what game you're playing and potluck, to be honest.
I mean, weirdly, I had more viewers on Friday afternoon in the middle of the day than I did sort of today on a Sunday when there's people off work and stuff.
So
it's good though. Yeah, no, I'm still getting plenty of the streaming in. It's just so easy. I mean, it's so easy on the PS4 to do it. You just set it up and away it goes, and you just end up with a little border around your screen. But apart from that, it's not a big deal, really.
It's all good.
It's all good. And that's kind of it, really, I guess. There's no more news to talk about, I guess, and we've done games and shit. So I think we should do some shout-outs and get the hell out of here. So
it's time for a shout-out. Hey!
Duke, over to you first.
Yeah, I will shout-out the following people. First of all, shout-out the Duchess, because she's awesome, as always. And she was very, I don't know. I was glad I didn't have the car break down alone. It would be 10 times more annoying if I had broken down alone. So whatever. And she's just always good when sort of crisis strikes like that. So whatever. Anyway, Duchess is awesome. I will also shout out Evil Shredder for the bundle recommendation. Thank you, sir. I will shout out Hang on a second. Ian Chapstick, because he had a Dragon Age offer. And I don't remember exactly what happened with that, but
I'll tell it right. Okay, I'll explain this because he was my shout out. He initially offered it to me.
Right.
So he sent me a tweet and said, "Stu, I've got a Dragon Age code on Origin that I'm never going to use. Do you want it?" sort of thing. So I thanked him very kindly and said, "Well, I would love it. But as it goes, I've already got on the PS4, so I have no need for it. But he's so very kind of you to offer that to me. And then he offered it to you.
Yes.
You know,
Stu McKee said that it sounded like I was going to have a rant because of all my crazy car stuff. But in fact, no, there's been no rant tonight. Sorry, Stulek. But thank you for your interest. Roberto twittered me about turkey for Thanksgiving. I'm actually going to send him a picture in response. See, Chris MJW is playing the bridge, and he really liked that. So, hooray. I'm glad he's liking that. And, yeah, thank you to everybody listening and to everybody who offered words of support during my car fiasco. Everything that died now. So.
That is funny. By the way, just to let you know, it did go to a good home. The code for the game.
All right.
It went to Amras from the Gamesman, so it went to Gary.
Yeah.
So
he
took it, and he's going to be playing that game. So that was a nice little gift for him. Nice little gift for him. Chinny, over to you.
I'd shout out to my niece and nephew because it was their birthday this week.
Right. That's good. That's good. How old?
They are double digits. They are 10.
Wow. It's all downhill from here.
That's what I said to him. He says, now you're going to be talking about mortgages and fence panels or whatever boring people talk about. And also, they've got a little brother who's 2, and he's cuter. So I did tell them, like, he is cuter. No one cares about you 2 anymore. I'm sorry. That's fact of life. But we threw them an awesome birthday party, Stuart. Awesome.
Did you throw them an awesome birthday? What was the theme? Did it have a theme?
It had a... It's going to be sick as fuck. No, that was the theme. It was going to be awesome. No, it was... I spent £76 on tat and shit and party stuff. And...
Hey, I'll tell you what, Duke. He does all right, you know.
He does all right, doesn't he?
He does all right.
I don't know anything about the party. The fun. How am I supposed to tell?
I bought all the bunting. I bought 100 balloons.
Bunting. God almighty. That sounds like something from, like, I don't know, the 1800s. I've got bunting in the room.
Bunting. I put up bunting on living room. So we put up that.
Out, figuring out the bunting?
What?
The bunting.
Stu, do you figure out a party without worrying about bunting?
I must admit, I haven't had a party with bunting, but I can imagine it's quite fun to have bunting in a party.
Bunting.
So
we put up balloons, we put up pictures of them. I had party games arranged for all day. We had pass the parcel, we had dancing statues. I had a piñata, and we smacked the shit out of that thing. And it was good. And it was weird seeing kids just rip the piñata apart like some savage animals. So it was a good day. We had pizza. It was a good day. We had a good day.
Yeah, you can't beat pizza. That's what I would say.
Share it, my niece and nephew. I'm going to get them £20 on Steam because that's all they give a shit about at the moment. Jimmy is playing Counter Strike Go. That's all he wants to play.
Oh my god!
That's just brilliant. They're being trained well. I've got to say, trained well.
He wants to do everything that his older brother does, and George is about 17, and all he plays is Counter-Strike Go. Like, that's it.
Well, I'm thinking of getting Millie to play Dragon Age and get then Twitch stream it, see how she gets on, you know, because she's never played anything like that. I'm going to stick it on the, obviously, casual setting and potentially see how she gets on. I think it'd be quite fun again. It was quite good when we did the crew together. That was quite funny.
I was going to say as well, Madeline was very pleased because her brother bought her... Five Nights at Freddy's. She's very.
Oh, yeah, I've heard. All I've heard is great things about it.
It's a very basic game, I'll put it that way.
But they brought Five Nights at Freddy's 2's number 2 in the iTunes charts.
She's been asking about that, and I was like, well, maybe I could buy you that for Christmas. So, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
So that's what they're playing. They're adorable, and they're good kids, and we had fun. So, happy birthday.
It's just watching kids play games, isn't it? When you get into one.
The best thing about the party is I almost thought, like, if the kids get tired and they're sick of, because I did think, you know, is the party too childish for them now? I don't know, all right? But they had an awesome time, and I think me, Tara, my brother, and Tara's brother, and Tara's brother's girlfriend had more fun than the kids when we was playing, like, pass the parcel and, you know, dancing statue things or whatever you play, pinata. We had a lot of fun. So it was good. Yeah. So, you know, what are you going to do? Oh, we didn't resort to an Xbox. Because I did think maybe if we run out of things to do, we can have like a big Minecraft sort of
thing. No, you kept the video games out of it.
Yeah, got out of it. I mean, Madeline and Keisha watched some YouTube videos of Five Nights at Freddy's because she wanted to show Keisha some videos of it, but there's a bit of that. But
I've got that. I've actually got that game and just never played it. I got it in a bundle for cheap. So
what,
like,
Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah, I've got it on Steam.
Give it a go. It's I mean, it's pretty short.
I should play, you know, it. I should play it.
You don't move, you just look at cameras. That's all you do.
I've heard. My shout-outs. I'm going to shout-out Stulek, first of all, because he's just appeared in the chat, bless him, at the end of the show. So, Stu, nice to see you've joined us in the chat and saying hello and all that jive. So that's always cool, isn't it? Always good to have Stu around. It's a good name, by the way. It's a fine name, that. Fine name. And I'm going to return the shout-out to Rich Webster, Big Bad Daddy, and also to Fraser when they were on the Overseas Connection. He shouted out the veteran gamers. So it's very, very kind of them to do that.
Isn't Fraser just a nice guy?
He's just a lovely guy. And he's gone now, he won't hear us saying this till he listens to it. Yeah, he's gone.
He went earlier.
Yeah, he's a bit of an arse, really.
I like Fraser.
He's a lovely guy. No, he is a lovely guy.
Everybody else in the chat, they can just go to hell. Fraser is just lovely.
But Fraser, he's a lovely chap.
He's a gem.
He's just such a gem. But to be fair, so is Richard, isn't he? You know, Rich Webster, he's such a nice guy. We met him, didn't we?
Webster's one of my favorite people in the world. I love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
He's a nice man.
He makes me laugh so much. Like, there's one thing that he said on the Overseas Connection like, the last couple of times he was on. He says, So this person doesn't want us to read her name. So this is Alex, and he just said it so straight, and it made me laugh out loud while I was listening to it. He's great. Brilliant. Love it.
Nah, he is good. And I'd also like to shout out, and I'm not sure, I can't remember the name of the person, but somebody sent Richard Webster a message by mistake. It was meant for me, telling me to get an Xbox, get back on the Xbox. So a shout out to whoever that was. I can't really remember the name of the person, but someone sent it to him by mistake. It was meant for me.
Well, you can see why, because you call yourself Daddy Blaster.
And he's Big Bad Daddy.
So.
Also, Ian Chadwick, of course, as well, for the Dragon Age Inquisition code offer. So thank you very much for that. And also a shout out to Feng Chui, who... Who's going to send me one of the, you know, the 2-hour play codes for Far Cry 4 to play co-op with him.
Oh, so he's going to
send me one of those. So hopefully tomorrow, I'm off work again tomorrow, and so is he. So hopefully we'll be able to get a bit of playing in the morning for a couple of hours, and I'll feed back next week what I think of Far Cry. A bit of a play date morning, lad. And that's kind of it for me. So has anyone got anything else?
Oh, that's it for us. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I certainly do not mean stew.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, I should have had another shout out, really, as well. There was something I thought about.
Too late. We don't have time.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway.
Show's over. Thanks for coming.
I'm going to do it anyway.
Here we go.
I like this podcast.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Actually, it involves Greg DeLacy.
Oh, snap.
Because the Overseas Connection's coming up to 296 shows. It'll be nearly 300. So they're coming up to the 300th show.
So what are they doing?
I don't know. That's why I was mentioning it, because I thought it was just kind of cool that they've got there, really. They've got up to 300 shows. So well done, guys, I guess. Yeah, well done, nearly there. Only four more to go. Four more. And also, have you noticed now they're streaming live? Have you noticed, man? Copying us again, I tell you what.
I was the first person to stream their episode live, so what can you do?
I know. And now they're doing it on Mixlr because of that bloody Richard Primrose. They're not Mixlr. So yeah, they're streaming on Mixlr.
Mixlr.
Oh, well, yeah. Mixlr.
What can you do?
Mixlr. Yeah, Mixlr. So yeah, so they're on that shit. So they're streaming good. Now. Streaming live, baby. Streaming live. I didn't think it was very, very amusing that you were trying to get Jason on the camera and all that, and he was getting all let up about it and all that stuff.
Didn't like that.
No, it was very funny that I was laughing. I can't believe he got so let up about it. What does he look like? What was his issue? What was his issue then?
I don't know. Maybe he's got some.
Why was he worried that someone was going to see him?
Maybe he's got some legal reason or he doesn't want to get seen. I don't know.
There must be something.
He's like Duke and he doesn't want to get seen. I don't know.
Yeah, Duke doesn't care. He would show his face on the old Twitch feed.
He used to care. Duke used to care. And now he doesn't.
That's true. He used to care. Like, I don't want my picture to be out there.
Look at him now. He doesn't give a shit. He don't give no shit now, man.
Oh, man, I forgot to do that thing I was going to do. Here, wait, I can do it now.
Okay.
Hang on. I got to find it, though. I got to queue it up. Talk about something else for, like, a minute.
Okay, then. Yeah. Christmas. What are you doing at Christmas, Ginny? Are you at home? Or are you going to Tara's? What's happening?
Well, it's going to be a funny one this year because I think Tara's... What I usually do is I go around and see my brother and the twins and stuff. And then I go around... I spend Christmas with my white family, and then I spend Christmas with my black family. It's pretty much what I do at Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
And this year, because Tara's mom is working on Christmas Day, I think, so it's going to be like a Boxing Day Christmas for them. They're going to celebrate Christmas on Boxing Day. So, yeah, bit of a weird one. So I think Christmas Day I'll pretty much be on my own. Well, not on my own, but I'll be with... yeah, maybe Tara, yeah. But I'm just going to play games probably on Christmas Day. But, you know, I'll have about 2-3 weeks off work, so I'll be chilling. I'll have all my shopping done by then. Tara's got 2 long weekends off, so that's good. But she's working now and again, so I'll get some gaming time in. Yeah, it's all good. Sounds like it's going to be a good Christmas.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, I got the clip. You ready? Here's what we watched this weekend. It's a little quiet, so you have to listen carefully.
Okay.
Scottish. For the lowest of the low. The scum of the fucking earth. Most wretched, miserable, servile, pathetic trash that was ever shot into civilization. Some people hate the English. I don't. They're just wankers. We, on the other hand, colonized by wankers.
There you go.
There you go. What is it?
Oh, come on, man. People in the chat, they know what it is. Come on, somebody in the chat. Help me out here. Huh?
All right, while they're going to guess it, can I tell you a film that I saw that I think that you've watched?
Okay.
Go on. Go on, what was it?
I think you recommended this, Duke. I think...
Oh, is it Trainspotting?
Yes, hello!
Oh, God, that's... but it's about 15 years since I watched that film.
Well,
yeah, it was a long time ago.
I mean, hooray for Stulek. Nice job.
That's not the most famous bit.
No, it's not, but it's the best bit.
Okay, whatever. Trainspotting, straight. Well done, them. Right.
My favorite bit is when he goes for the job interview.
Well, that's a good bit too. All right, Chinny, go ahead. What have you been watching?
And I got it from that.
I watched Fargo.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's good.
Is that your first time seeing it?
Oh, yeah. Because I love the accent. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, he's just funny looking, you know, like kind of funny looking. How? Just kind of funny looking in a general
just
way.
Funny looking. Just a kind of funny looking in a general way. Like
he was over by the lake, and he said, "Well, the last guy who messed with me didn't end up too good, if you know what I mean." And I said, "Well, that doesn't sound too good for him, you know."
He didn't use the word "messed," if you get what I mean. Okay. Oh, what a film that is. What a great film. Yeah, Fargo is. Jesus Christ.
Now, however, here's the best part of the whole movie. You ready?
Go on.
You're such a super lady.
You're such a super lady.
Oh, that's Mike, isn't it? Yeah.
Magita. Oh, that poor guy.
Can I talk to you about that, dude? Because I know this is a true story, Fargo. It's not.
No, they're totally making that shit up at the beginning of the movie.
That's so funny. Yeah.
It's all fake. They just did that to mess with you.
Okay, so they got me. Fair enough. But
ding.
Ding, ding,
okay,
ding, ding.
Let me ask you this thing. My question is still valid, right?
Yeah.
Okay. My question is this. That whole scene with
that Mike guy, you know, the sort of Asian guy that comes in and he lies about the woman having leukemia.
Oh, she's fine. What's she's still back with her parents.
You should check her out, eh? What's the deal with that scene? What's the point of it?
You know, it's interesting because I've thought about that a lot, actually. The best I can make up is, like, okay, there's several things. A lot of Coen movies have a lot to do with appearance versus reality. So there's this pathos involved with Mike because we feel bad for him based on everything he's been through, but we still feel like there's something really not quite right with him. So although we have empathy toward him, we still don't want to get too close to him, which is true about a lot of people. That's true about Walter in The Big Lebowski, right? And it's true about a lot of people in Coen Brothers movies. It's true about W.P. Mayhew and Barton Fink. But the other thing is, you know, the thing at the end where Margie and her husband are sort of going to sleep at night, and they're like, they say something. Margie says something like, "You know what, Norm? We got a pretty good life, you know." And like,
She says we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, right. Everybody in that movie is yearning for like something they don't have, and that's another thing that's really common in Coen Brothers movies, especially Lebowski. Everybody in Lebowski is desperate to be someone they're not, and
I think in Barton Fink though, like he's constantly striving for the next. He always thinks that what he's writing is the best thing he's ever written.
Oh yeah, well right, and he's convinced that he's not, you know, in touch with the common man, which he's not. So he's trying to be someone he's not, and there's a lot of that. And so I think Mike Yamagita, whatever his name is, like I think he in a way is reflective of this sort of really like there's different. The different characters represent these really different elements of the same kind of thing. That is, people not fitting in right and like really having something deeply wrong beneath the surface. But on the surface, they appear to be fine, you know, because that's the same thing about William H. Macy's character. He's like, I'm cooperating here. You know, I'm doing everything you need me to. But there's deep and we don't even know exactly what's why is he in such money problems. But we know
it gets explained, does it? He lies, like he's just layers of lies that he tells. Oh, yeah, you know, he absolutely. Says that it's 80 grand and he's going to give 40, then it's a million and all that stuff.
What's it for? It's a lot. Yeah, I know it's a lot. It's a hell of a lot. What's it for? No, it's a parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great movie.
The cops finally catch up with him. Spoilers for Fargo.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And he's
yeah,
like, just a second, I'll be right with you. And he's like, no. Yeah. And his poor son. Oh, my God.
Really like the movie. I love the accents though. Me and Tara kept on just going, okay, all the way through all of this yesterday. Okay. Yeah.
We see Buscemi, man.
So you enjoyed it then?
You stupid moron. You want a chainsaw? I'm taking a freaking car. Are you a square?
You haven't spoke for the last 4 hours. I mean, let's see how you like it.
Dude, I've been putting up with your shit for 4 days.
Interesting. Have you ever seen A Simple Plan? A Simple Plan.
No,
it's excellent. If you've never seen that, it reminds me somewhat of Fargo
because Coen's made a movie called A Simple Man.
No, A Simple Plan. Sam Raimi.
I haven't watched it.
Sam Raimi directed it in 1998, so it's a fairly old film. But it's got Billy Bob Thornton in one of the sort of first films I saw him in.
I saw him.
Duke, it's serious, send me a link.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
Could you send me a link, Duke, to your commentary? I asked you before, but I never saved it. I need to send me a link to the commentary of Barton Fink, and I want to do that.
There's also a multimedia presentation here.
Can I talk about a comedian / actor that I fucking hate, and I just can't
stand. Talk about whatever you like. What do you want to talk?
I watched a film today with him in it. And I said to Tara, I do not like that guy. And everything he's been in that I've watched offends me, apart from one film. Okay. And that guy is Adam Sandler. I can't. Really? I don't like. He's not funny.
Well, I think that his first two movies, Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, were funny. But after that, I've never really been into him.
I liked Waterboy. I thought Waterboy was okay. I didn't think it was hilarious, right? I thought it was okay.
I think Waterboy really overdid it. I think his accent was annoying and stupid.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into Waterboy.
I watched like Little Nicky and things like that. I just think they're just awful. I just awful film. But he keeps getting work. He keeps like knocking these films out.
He's guaranteed to get work because he's considered like a dramatic actor, which I don't get at all. I have never seen Punch Drunk Love or anything, but I can't imagine it being very good.
But apparently, and I probably believe this, apparently Adam Sandler is a very, very nice man. You know, very nice.
His biggest break was when he did There's Something About Mary. That's when he really got on the radar.
Still, I don't remember him in that at all.
Pardon?
I don't remember him being in that.
He was definitely in. He's definitely in it.
Okay,
he's
I believe not, you.
He's
Something About Mary.
He is in There's Something About Mary, isn't he?
No, that's Ben Stiller. You're thinking of Ben Stiller.
Oh, I'm thinking the wrong person. You're right, it is.
Jesus Christ.
They're very similar, though, to be fair.
Kind of.
They're kind of similar to each other.
It was funny. And it had Lee Evans.
It was funny. It was funny. But yeah, I've forgotten about it. Yeah, I always get them two mixed up.
Lee Evans was in There's Something About
Mary. He was. He had glasses on.
And he was in The Fifth Element as well. Lee Evans.
Lee Evans. By the way, as well, for anyone who's not aware, season 3 of Lilyhammer is on Netflix this week. Started.
I haven't watched any of those.
Oh, so good! It's so good. You'd love it. You'd really enjoy it.
I when people see the size of show, and you go, "Oh, it's so good." Oh,
it's a weird show though. It's a weird show because it's got the dude out of The Sopranos in it who plays like the lead mobster dude.
His name in Sopranos was Sil.
Yeah, so it's got him in it, and it's just the weirdest thing because it's part subtitled when they're speaking in Norwegian or whatever it is, and then he speaks in an American accent, but they understand what he's saying to him. It's just a very odd film. And he can understand what they say to him, even though he's just come over from America. So in some ways it makes no sense whatsoever, but it just kind of works, and it's very, very funny. It's a very funny thing. It's very good. Well worth a watch. So yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that. So yeah, season 3 of Lilyhammer, get it watched. It's so good. And it's very Fargo-ish in its setting and whatever, because it's all in snowy Norway and whatever. It's all snow. Loads of snow.
Did you hear about that woman who supposedly went looking for the money from Fargo?
Oh, really?
No. Died in the freezing cold. That's what the person said because she got in touch with him, and he was like, well, I thought she was just crazy about the movie Fargo, and like she thought it was real. But it turns out that wasn't the case, and in fact, it was much more bizarre than that. I'll find a link to that story and send it to you.
By the way, I've just been looking at the Wikipedia page for A Simple Plan. What I hadn't realized was that Billy Bob Thornton got nominated for Best Supporting Actor that year for the Oscars, and the screenplay was nominated for Best Writing Adapted Screenplay. It's really good. I can't believe neither of you have seen A Simple Plan. It's so good.
Sorry.
You need to get it watched. There's a homework for you both. Watch A Simple Plan. Come on, it's only a film. It'll take you an hour and a bit. What's the matter with you? Jesus Christ. Right, anyway, it's time to go.
All right, here's the thing for Fargo in the Twitch chat.
Cool.
Yep. Cool. All right, thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye. Dudes. Thanks, everybody in the Twitch. Boy.
Peace out. Bye.